and welcome to this week's episode of Connectivity. I am Scott Thompson. Holy crap, do we have an episode for you today. We're going to start things off with a little talk about not just Mario Kart 7, but the whole history of the series, and that's featuring Carl Castaneda, Johnny Metz, and Neil Ronahan. After that, myself, Neil, and Mike get together to talk about the recently released GBA Ambassador games for the 3DS. They're pretty awesome. Much better than the NES ones. Next, returning to Mario Kart, Nicholas Bray and Pedro Hernandez talk about, I guess, probably one of the more overlooked entries in the series, and that is Mario Kart Super Circuit. Lastly, we have a game of NWR Jeopardy for you, featuring myself, Neil, Nate Andrews, and Pedro Hernandez. And just one final note before we get the show started. We were having the contest to name the Minute Rant segment, and we got a lot of great entries, but we're going to give this one to Pure Evil with his suggestion of What Pushes My Buttons. So we gave him a little 3DS point card so he could go buy Pushmo and Mighty Switch Force and whatever else he wants. So thank you everybody who entered, and keep an eye out. I'm sure we're going to do another contest soon. As for now, enjoy the show.
So, Mario Kart 7 came out recently, and in celebration of that, I've got Jonathan Metz.
Hey, welcome to the kids' table.
Kids' table, fuck you, man. Fuck. And Carl Castaneda.
Hi, I'm holding a shirt up to lock down Echo.
And we're going to talk about shirts and Mario Kart. So let's...
And Pushmo.
Yes, and Pushmo. Pushmo, which if you haven't gotten yet, you should. It's $7 on the eShop, and you can get exactly that amount of money now, because the new update's awesome.
It is great.
Yeah.
And you can buy specific amounts of money?
Yeah. Like I
did not know
I have
that.
An overload of money right now, but like if you had, like let's say, a dollar and you wanted to get Pushmo, you could put on exactly $5.99 or whatever it is.
Plus tax for
yeah.
me. Hmm. Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know they'd changed that. Wow.
Yeah.
3DS just got way more awesome in the past
few
years.
Yeah,
indeed.
And all these hats and find me makes me want a street pass again.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I need PAX East. I'm fiending for street passes consistently.
Oh, my God, dude. Seriously, you're going to clean up so hard at PAX East for street passes?
I'm ready.
It's ridiculous.
Ready. My body is ready for PAX East.
Oh, man. Which I imagine all three of us will be there.
Oh, I'll be there.
High water.
Mm-hmm.
Panel or no, we'll still be there, but there will likely be a panel.
Panel or yes.
Yes. Yeah.
But Mario Kart is a thing that came out recently, and now we're going to talk about the older ones, as people are wont to do whenever new games and series come out.
Right.
So let's start with the beginning. Super Mario Kart, Super Nintendo, came out in about 1992, and was this first game of this whole kart racing thing. I didn't really play it too much at first because I was 4 when it came out. I guess, Johnny, you probably played it around when it came out.
Yeah, I did.
Carl and I are babies.
I did. I my friends had it. I never owned the game, but my friends had it, and I played it with them. And we rented it, my sister and I. That was back probably towards the end of the era when my sister would actually play video games with me. And we rented it, and we played it together, and it was neat. But, you know, Super Mario Kart's only 2 players.
Right.
And I think in terms of racing, it's pretty hard to make a good 2-player racing game.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the battle mode was maybe the most fun of the entire series, but again, limited to 2 people. And I think if you went back and played it now, I have a feeling that the original Super Mario Kart battle mode is not as much fun as maybe you remember, but it was so different from anything else at the time.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, competitive multiplayer just... didn't exist very much in 1992. We didn't have first-person shooters.
Right.
So there weren't, other than Tecmo Bowl, there really weren't that many opportunities to play a video game against another person, especially a racing game, you know, where you got all this combat stuff. I mean, this is before Twisted Metal or any of that stuff. It was really, really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, my experience with it, I mean, I was on the younger side, but I do have a brother who I think is about 2 years older than you, Johnny. Mm-hmm. And he would have friends over, and one of them would bring over their Super Nintendo, and they would get into very, very heated Super Mario Kart matches mm-hmm. that really centered around battle mode.
Yeah.
And I'm friends with one of his friends who was really big into it on Facebook, and I was actually talking to him about Mario Kart games because he was inquiring about them and just about how none of them lived up to Super Mario Kart for him. And, like, he still goes back and plays Super Mario Kart whenever he hangs out with old friends. But I don't think, like, I think he played Mario Kart 64, never really enjoyed it, and just kind of fell off the series. Mm-hmm. So there's that kind of sect of people that are just really into Super Mario Kart.
Yeah, I think, you know, everyone has a favorite Mario Kart, and I think we're going to get into that later on in the show. But I feel like
indeed,
whichever Mario Kart you put the most time into, like, whichever Mario Kart you happen to really land on the series with is your favorite Mario Kart.
Yeah, that's true.
But
I think
maybe you put the most time into it because you liked
well,
it
sure.
the best.
Well, that might be an easy thing. But I'm saying, like, eventually you latched onto a Mario Kart, put like a crazy amount of time into it, and
yeah.
for all time, that will be your favorite Mario Kart, regardless of what comes out.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of echoes what I think Giant Bomb... someone over at Giant Bomb, I think in the review, and I don't know if they talked about it on the podcast or not, but this whole idea of like the Mario Kart theory is that, like, whatever one you played first is your favorite one, and you'll just critique the other ones endlessly because they're not that one that you originally played.
Sure. I mean, if we want to, I mean, is there really much else to say about Super Mario Kart?
Not really.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's I mean,
it was mode 7, which was...
it looked really cool. It still does.
Looked cool because, you know, there were a lot of Mode 7 games on Super Nintendo going back to F-Zero, which was essentially
yeah.
the launch title.
Sure.
I think Super Mario Kart definitely had a different look because it was so much brighter and more colorful and more cartoony
mm-hmm.
than any of the other Mode 7 racers. And it did stand out for that reason,
right.
you know, and it made good use. And I think I've heard... stories about how the Mode 7 used by Super Mario Kart was actually more advanced than in some of those other games. I'm not really sure of the technical details, but, you know, it the course designs were certainly more complex than what you got in F-Zero. And there
oh,
were
yeah,
more,
definitely.
More sprites on the screen. You know, you had all the combat stuff. It was a busy game. It was really cool looking at the time.
Yeah. And then the series moved on 5 years later and went four-player, and... I guess kind of moved to the N64 with Mario Kart 64, where changed up the characters a little bit. No more Koopa Troopa, no more Donkey Kong Jr. Instead, you got Wario and Donkey Kong.
Right.
And then, you know, put it in 3D and kind of issued that Mode 7 graphics for something that, I mean, what did it use? Like, I'm blanking out on the term for what the characters were. Like the
well, the characters
sprites.
Are sprites, so
yeah.
they weren't 3D, but the tracks were 3D. And
yep.
it was important because now they're hills. There's
sure.
no
yeah,
hills
yeah.
in Super Mario Kart. There's ramps,
yeah.
but
you really like
flat ramps funny. That just make your sprite move up higher on the screen and then come back down. In Mario Kart 64, there's real ramps. You know, you can catch air. I mean, those
there's
tracks
that
are three-dimensional.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Now,
there's
I don't know
about
bridges
you... where you go over another piece of the track, and it was just, you know, unfathomable in the original game. So it really had a very different feel to it.
Right. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've probably poured. This is probably the second Mario Kart game that I put a ton of time into. Like, in order, I probably put this one in the second most.
It was the first. And I got the game with my N64
yeah.
when I got it. Or it was I got my N64 around when Mario Kart came out, and I played it incessantly. Like, that was one of the few games I've gotten, you know, my parents to play with me, my brother and my sister to play with me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a ton of fun playing multiplayer with that game for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a good friend of mine, John Rind, puts Mario Kart in a very special place that describes all of our childhoods, which is Mario Kart, Koopa Troopa Beach, Sunny D, and Big Willy Style Track 8, Miami, on repeat. And that
oh,
pretty
dear.
Much wraps up a childhood. But, I mean, here's the thing about Mario Kart 64. It's actually the worst Mario Kart game.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
I don't agree with that.
It is, dude. It's got
It added technicality to the driving with the power slide mechanic. The tracks were wider to accommodate more people and more jockeying for position. The
mm-hmm.
items were, I think overall more interesting than they were in the first game, and the battle mode is the best of the entire series.
Yeah, actually, I would say the battle mode in Mario Kart 64.
Yeah, okay.
Everything else was just kind of clawing at trying to get back to Super Mario Kart and Mario Kart 64's battle mode.
It was the first must-have four-player game on N64. It came out before GoldenEye. And for a long time, I never owned it, actually. It was like GoldenEye, a game that I just rented when people came over.
Yeah,
you know, I'd have like weekends where my buddies would come over. We'd rent an N64 game and just sit down and play. I mean, we did this with Duke Nukem 64 once. We didn't necessarily have high standards.
Sure.
But we would do this, and I didn't need to own it because I wasn't going to play it by myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just rented it on an as-needed basis, and we played a ton of Mario Kart 64.
No, and I did too, and it's not a bad game, but it has the floatiest controls in the series by far. I mean, really, honestly, bad controls. There are bad controls in that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
There are also some levels in the game that are really kind of terrible. And to be honest with you, I mean, it is by far the ugliest looking game in that series.
It is ugly. It is.
I mean, that goes for it being one of the first too.
Yeah, I mean, look, a lot of N64 games look really crappy now. So yeah. You know, that's just a fact of the technology. But really, even that one especially. Really does hold up.
For me, the only reason I replay the only reason I play Mario Kart 64 at all is just because I had so much fun with it.
Sure,
when it came out. It's really a lot of rose colored glasses.
It's a lot of nostalgia.
Where I don't really think, like, I can honestly say objectively, you know what? It doesn't really hold up that well. It's not, you know, time hasn't been kind to it, but mm-hmm. I still have great memories with that. And it's also still, out of, you know, my wider group of friends, it's the Mario Kart game that everyone plays.
Exactly, yeah. That's
everyone
the one
knows how to play it, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. And look, I have it on Wii Virtual Console. I've been known to play it from time to time. It's not a bad game.
I've played it a lot.
It's not a bad game. It's just not the best. It's just, for me at least, my least favorite game in that series. Now, granted, I never played very much of Super Mario Kart, and I didn't play very much Super Circuit either. But of the ones that I did play, Mario Kart 64 is my least favorite. Especially because if you compare it to its PlayStation rival, Crash Team Racing,
oh God,
it is far inferior. I mean, it is
this again?
It's almost unfair how much better Crash Team Racing is than Mario Kart 64.
Well, I think Crash Team Racing came out at least 2 years later.
Yeah,
it was a year.
Crash
or two
Team
later,
Racing was a later PS1 game,
yeah.
If I recall.
They might have learned a few things from playing a lot of Mario Kart 64.
That might be true, sure.
I'm just venturing a guess here.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, the fact is it was a kart racer.
I mean, look, I like Diddy Kong Racing better than Mario Kart 64 by
so
a long
I, yeah.
shot.
Yeah.
But I still think MK64 is a great game. I played it a year ago. A friend had a retro gaming party with a bunch of people who are not gamers, but who grew up, you know, they're my age. They grew up, and Mario Kart 64 was a game that everybody played back in the late 90s.
Yep.
And everybody knows how to play it. We busted that shit out and played it four players for hours,
mm-hmm.
okay? And we had a blast. So I just, I don't get the retro hate for it. I really don't.
No, here's the fact is this.
I'm not saying you're hating on it, Carl. I'm saying people do. People do have retro hate for Mario Kart
64. It's kind of like, I mean, I don't mean this to poke fun at your comment at the PAX panel and then your review for the game a couple years prior. It's kind of like Twilight Princess, where, I mean, I've definitely been known to kind of hate on that game a little bit, too. Mm-hmm. But when I played it, I enjoyed the crap out of it. And just looking back, I'm not as fond of it.
I hate it. Well, yeah, sure. My thing at the panel was a joke about the chances, but I didn't actually mean that.
Right. I mean, look, even as much as I'm criticizing it now, it's not a bad game at all. It's a pretty good game.
Yeah.
And it's
just the worst in the series.
And it's a game that I have a ton of nostalgic love for, but it is just, for me, the worst game in the series.
So, has any of us actually really played Mario Kart Super Circuit? Because the only time I ever really played it was sometime, I think, in late middle school, early high school, where I would play multiplayer with people because I never owned the game.
I played a little bit of it, but I just couldn't be bothered because getting a link cable to play multiplayer seemed stupid.
Yeah.
I never bought it. I mean, I played it here and there. You know, it had that single cart multiplayer, which is a really cool feature. It's very limited. You can only play as Yoshi.
Right.
But It was a real novelty at the time, and it was a way to show the game to other people without them mm-hmm. having to buy a copy of it. And so I did play it. You know, I remember I was writing for the site when that game came out, and it was the early 2000s. And I remember Nintendo doing a promotion where they got people on all four corners of the
United
States.
Oh yeah, I remember
corners.
That too. I think I read about that on PlanetGameCube.com.
Yeah, I think that maybe wanted to fly somebody out for that, and we couldn't really justify anybody doing it. But it was a weird promo event. Of course, a few years later, they found out that location of the four corners is not really geographically correct. Somebody had drawn the lines improperly or something. But
right.
Anyway, you know, four-player portable Mario Kart. Actually, portable Mario Kart, period, was a real novelty. But GBA just wasn't a good multiplayer machine.
It wasn't.
And
it's true.
I didn't really see Mario Kart as being something that I necessarily wanted to play on a portable system, especially since they went back to the flat, you know, Mode 7 style thing of the first game, which I didn't like as much as 64. So I never got really into it. But I played it a little bit, and it's going to be a GBA ambassador game. So
yeah, so we'll be playing it. Like in 2 days.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be checking it out for sure on that since I'll own it for free.
Sure, yeah, why not?
I mean, really the way I feel on Mario Kart single player throughout all the games is that I enjoy going through it once or twice, you know, when locking some stuff. And then I never really play single player again and play multiplayer.
They really haven't cracked the code. And it's sad because it's definitely possible to make a fun single player racing game, and there's lots of examples. Even Nintendo first party games that are much better examples of how to do it. And Mario Kart, they just don't seem to care.
I mean, for me, it's not as much of an issue. I've always enjoyed, you know, cracking open Grand Prix mode and playing for a few hours and just doing races single player. That's never really been a problem for me.
It's more tolerable in some entries than in others.
Right, and it most definitely is for me, at least, in the next game in the series, Mario Kart DS, which is my favorite.
You're skipping over.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh,
Double
God.
Dash came first.
I'm sorry. Yeah, and you know what? It's easy to do because it was pretty forgettable for me.
Oh, boo.
Because you didn't play it right, apparently.
I didn't play it. I'll be honest with you. I've played it maybe... I've put a few hours into it, but honestly, I just didn't really... It didn't catch me, and I've never been a fan of the actual mechanic of having two people in the same cart. I get the idea behind it, and on paper it sounds fun, but for me, it just never really caught.
See, I was reminded of how much I really enjoyed the two players in the cart when I was actually reading Johnny's review before we recorded.
I read it, too.
Yeah, and you told me to read it, so... But you pointed out in it about how, like, really the way to play that game is going through it co-op, because you can do that, and I actually did do that with one of my friends, and we had a blast with that game, and it really is. It's a great co-op game, and I'm really
weirdly,
sad it hasn't
right?
come back.
Like, surprisingly good for co-op. It doesn't, like, if you just hear someone describe it, you're like, I don't understand why that would be fun to have one person who's only driving and the other person is only using items. It just seems like it would be too simple for both people. You know, you're taking what you would normally do by yourself, and you're just reducing that for two people. And it's a little bit hard to explain, but because both elements, you know, it divides up the driving and the combat parts of Mario Kart gameplay. And because both elements are very important, you really have to talk to each other and both be good at what you do. And if you get a team together that's where both players are very good at their roles... You are much better as a team than any single player would be on his own doing all that stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually, I used to do like video game programs at the library that I worked at in high school, and I eventually did a couple tournaments where it'd be they were called quadrathlons, where there would be four different games, and then people performed in each one, et cetera, et cetera. But Double Dash was used for a cooperative one where it was two people. And that was some of the most intense, like, competitive video gaming I've ever seen. Because you'd have two people working together against two other people, and it just worked beautifully.
It needs to be an Omegathon game.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
It'd be really fun to watch.
I do like the idea behind Double Dash. I think it's a really solid concept. I just found it a little wonky when I played it. It just didn't... I felt like there wasn't enough to do as the person not driving.
So I have notes to champion Double Dash. Should I save those for later, Neil?
Yeah.
We're gonna
we'll
come
do that
back
at the
to
end.
Our right. war of our favorite.
Yeah,
sure.
So okay. Carl, Mario Kart DS.
Yeah,
you can go off on that one.
It's the best kart racer of all time. It's got the best original tracks. It's got all those great retro tracks in there. The online is pretty decent if you can find people who don't snake, which is actually easier. And it's a way overblown problem, to be honest with you.
If you play random. If you play random after the first 2 months, it's really bad.
Yep.
If you play with
that's
friends,
what happened to
yeah,
me.
You
know. Yeah, to this day, it's probably the DS game that I've put the most hours into. When I bought my DS, it was that Mario Kart DS bundle. I got the red DS that came with it, and I freaking love that game. I had so much fun playing it. I remember bringing it to school all the time, and then like doing single cart multiplayer, which again you could do, and now made so much more sense because you could do it.
Yeah.
You could do it all wirelessly. I mean, yeah,
I did it during classes.
Oh yeah, so did
in
I.
High school.
I remember playing it in math, and then later in different classes. Yeah, it was. It was a great, great multiplayer game that had, look, it had as good online as Nintendo could have put out at that time.
Yeah, no, I'll agree to that. It just snaking killed it for me.
Now,
it was their first online game.
Yeah,
sure.
First.
I will admit that it has a pretty lackluster battle mode, but I've never really been that into battle modes in any Mario Kart games, regardless.
The one thing I need to give credit to Mario Kart DS is that mission mode. I thought that was really cool.
Right.
And then in Mario Kart Wii, it was absent, but then it kind of came back in those, you know, I think it lasted for 2 or 3 years where they had these missions you could download and complete.
Sure.
And I hope they do something like that with Mario Kart 7 because that was something that was very cool with Mario Kart DS and Wii.
Yeah.
But for me, Mario Kart DS, really, it existed as just... You know, that DS game that everyone I knew had.
Exactly.
So that way, whenever I'd meet up with random people, or, I mean, not like I'm meeting up with random people, but, like, people that I was like, oh, you have a DS? Oh, you probably have Mario Kart. We should play multiplayer. It'd be fun. And that's just kind of, like, how I do. I did that in college in the first couple of years. I did that at the end of high school. And I had a lot of fun with that. But it just, like, it rang hollow for me. It was the kind of thing where the only reason I played that was because I couldn't play Double Dash with those people. We could only play Mario Kart DS.
Now, let me say,
felt like it was – that the game was sort really formulaic. It was the start of Mario Kart feeling like a flag-bearing franchise for Nintendo that where they had to release one on every platform, and it had all these boxes that it had to check. And as long as it checks those boxes, it doesn't need to do anything beyond that. They might do a little flourish here and there, but it's ultimately not really any different. And this debate about Mario Kart being a sort of a stagnant franchise goes back a long way. If you read my Double Dash review, even back in 2003, this was a hot topic of people saying, you don't need to buy it because it's basically just the same Mario Kart. And that's coming
and there
from
was only
Super
really
Circuit.
One before
I mean,
that.
Is Double Dash really that much like Super Circuit? I don't think it is, but, no. You know, I mean, people were already saying that the whole kart racing thing is kind of dead and it's not interesting anymore and they haven't really done anything new with it. And that's Double Dash is probably the most innovative of the entire series because of the cooperative stuff. So, I mean, that just tells you this is none of the current stuff you hear about 7 is new. It's just DS.
Well, you
for
heard
me
the
was
same
the
things
point.
about Wii too.
yeah, you did. And it's like it's a really by the numbers game DS, and it has to me very little personality. And I never really felt attached to it.
See,
I played it a lot, and it is certainly a game that almost everyone you met with a DS had.
Sure,
but. I don't know. I never understood why people became so enthusiastic about it. It was totally uninspired to me.
Would you call being uninspired and perhaps lacking character? I just saw it as being really, really polished. It takes what Mario Kart is and it boils it down and it gets it really, really simple to the fact that literally the controls in that game are the best in the series. And for me, what a racing game comes down
on
to
on the
is
D-pad. No, sorry.
Oh, dude.
That was another thing.
Dude.
I didn't like playing it with the D-pad. So.
Yeah, I prefer actually playing Mario Kart with the D-pad. I think it's
that's
I think
hard
it's best.
For me to get over.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I'll take a D-pad over an analog stick any day of the week for Mario Kart. I think if you compared Mario Kart 64 to Mario Kart DS, it shits all the hell over it in controls. But that's just me. That's how I prefer to play. Guys,
you so wrong.
Sorry, I mean, my thing is that like I look at the Mario Kart games, and there's that kind of you know, I guess, new thing in each game. Whereas in Double Dash, you know, it's the co-op.
Sure.
In Super Circuit, it's portability. In Mario Kart 64, it was four-player. Outside of online, what did Mario Kart DS add? And to me, online, because of snaking, it wasn't as big of a deal.
Right. Now, wasn't Mario Kart DS the first Mario Kart game to add retro tracks?
Yes.
So,
okay.
I thought that was the most interesting thing about it, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It had the remix tracks, which is great.
Yeah. Oh, it's not lacking for content. That's for damn sure. It's a huge game.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. So, I mean... So there's Mario Kart DS. I'll stand up on a mountain and shout any day of the week that I think it's the best Mario Kart game.
Well, you're not the only one, but I never understood.
I think I might be the only one with thinking that Mario Kart Wii's the best, though.
I actually,
it's a very, very small minority. I really love the crap out of that game.
Yeah.
I got it when it came out. I played it a lot. I played it with friends. I played it online. I really like what they did to the Turbo. Mm-hmm. I never really liked putting the joystick back and forth, and I liked how you could lean into turns that way.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how they had the motorcycles and the carts, because that kind of added a different kind of strategy to it, where I know people, I always used a motorcycle, I knew people that always used carts. The tricks were, I mean, kind of throwaway, but just another way, like, you could use that to improve your time. I got really into the time trials in that game. I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my love for that game really proves that whole point of the Mario Kart game that you put the most time into is the one that sticks with you the most, because that's the one that I put a ton of time into.
Sure. No, I like Mario Kart Wii a lot. I think it's a really, really solid game in the series. I actually really like the motorcycles. I wish those had come back. But yeah.
I thought they were kind of a half-realized idea. I mean, in theory, I like the idea of adding more kinds of vehicles. I mean, going back to, like, Diddy Kong Racing, you know.
Sure.
But I didn't really feel like they were different enough or useful enough. They were never really competitive with carts, and I didn't really feel like they handled differently.
We did
enough.
Not play Mario Kart enough, Johnny, because I can show you that motorcycles are competitive with carts.
Okay, yeah, and you'll have
if you do the you do the wheelie with them, and you get that boost when you're going down a straightaway, kind of makes up for the fact that you only have the one boost turbo as opposed to the two burst.
Right.
Two
it depends turbo. On the track. If there's more straightaways, you can probably be more competitive with the bikes. But, you know, I mean, it's interesting. And I would say Mario Kart Wii is probably my second favorite in the series. I think it is very solid. To me, it regained the brightness, the colorfulness, a little bit of the personality that the DS game was lacking.
Yeah.
And I thought the online play was so much better, you know, like actually kind of functional and useful and worthwhile. Where in the DS it was clearly just this really bare bones.
Except for there were a disturbing amount of Miis that had dicks for heads. That was kind of weird.
But I think Mario Kart Wii is just as, if not more, well rounded than DS. And to me, it's more immediately fun and it's just has more personality. It's more it left a more lasting impression on me.
It's a really good game. I won't deny that.
And before we go to, I guess, more, or I guess Johnny laying out his Double Dash points, I assume, did both of you guys get Mario Kart 7?
Oh, yeah. It's sitting here, right here on my table.
Yeah. I did the review the other week, and I really enjoyed it, but to me, kind of, I guess, maybe some of the reasons why DS didn't sit as well with me, that's kind of what happened with Mario Kart 7, is that I like it a lot more than DS, but it still kind of feels that, like, it's just going through the motions. It's just like, hey, we got 16 new tracks, 16 retro ones, you know, you can glide now, that's cool,
you.
And in the three levels that it actually is worthwhile.
I love the gliding.
The
glider is a great idea, and
I
it's
do
used
like a lot.
Really well, but,
yeah.
it's barely
but it's barely used.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, for
that's
me,
that's the problem. The underwater shit is not good. I mean,
yeah,
I don't
it's
know,
just
it's
like,
not,
I found it funny that on the Rainbow Road track you have a section where you're like you're on the moon.
It's great.
There's floaty gravity.
Love it.
But
yeah.
That's like the same as how you control when you're underwater.
Well, it's a little different. It's a little bit different. For me, all levels should be on the moon. I mean,
yeah,
I think
I really the Rainbow Road in that. I love how they have the like instead of three laps, they just have like
three sections. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that. I like the straight ahead levels.
I think those are the best levels in the game by far. Are the ones that have sections.
Yeah.
In them.
Like that second Woohoo Island one is awesome.
Yeah. It's really.
Although
really
apparently
good.
There's some online exploit that people keep on using. I don't know exactly what it was, but I've heard people complain.
I don't know, but yeah, I like Mario Kart 7. You know, a bit. It's a nice game. It's a bit sterile. Yeah. So I can see why people are complaining about that. But I like it. You know, the online is still not quite there.
I think the online's really good. I mean, I've had a lot of great moments. Like, there was, I think maybe the Tuesday after it came out, I hopped online and I was playing with, like, you know, Mike Sklens, Aaron, and a couple other people. And it was just kind of like, I didn't really have to do anything to join a game. Like, I joined a game with someone on the forums, and then, you know, Sklens joined my game, and then Aaron joined my game. And before I know it, like, right before the next race, I'm like, oh, look, all my friends joined me in this game. Right. And I even had
the
a blue shell moment.
Be.
Yes. I even had a blue shell moment where I got hit by a blue shell right before I finished, and then Aaron went right past me.
Nice.
And then I just got – I had Gmail open, and I just got a message in the chat being, ha, ha. So,
that's great.
Damn you, Aaron.
Yeah. I think it is sorely lacking in communication features still.
I know we had the community night, which I unfortunately – could not attend.
It was fun.
But what I heard from people is that it was really fun. It's just you couldn't communicate with people at all. So I think next time we do it, we'll probably have an IRC chat open or something, which seems counterintuitive in this kind of this day and age.
Welcome to online Nintendo.
Yeah.
But I like Mario Kart 7. I think it's perhaps not worth $40, but it's a good Mario Kart game.
Most definitely.
You know, that's that. For me, what would have made it better is if, because it seemed like when they showed it off, they were like, and we've added all these extra add-ons for the carts. Like, we're going to put you underwater and give you little water jets. We're going to put you in the air. We're going to give you paragliders. It seemed like the new races were going to be all that stuff. Like, I'm going to get into a thing where I get off and I'm going to freaking parasail for the rest of the level.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had done I would have been happy.
That's a great point, Carl, because the thing is, when half the game's content is retro tracks, you can really afford to be pretty radical with the new stuff, right?
Right, right.
And they didn't really do that. I mean, that's one of the problems with Mario Kart is it is, going back for a long time, it's been a very conservative franchise. Mm-hmm. And it really does, I think, very little to surprise you. And I think that's too bad. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe because it's become such a cash cow for Nintendo that they don't want to mess with it too much. But it is a really fun series at heart. And, you know, you have to remember, going back to the very first one, it was a pretty bizarre thing when it first came out. No one had ever played a game quite like that before. And I think they've really lost that sense of you know, being originators.
Somewhat experimental with it, too.
Yeah.
Like, how much fun would it be if you got off, like, you were at the beginning of the level, you basically jumped off, like, an elevated platform, and then you had to glide for the rest of the level?
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a great segue to my love of Double Dash, because there's a level in Double Dash that is a bit like that called DK Mountain, you launch out of a cannon at the top of the level and then race all the way you launch to the top of the mountain and then race all the way down it to get back to the cannon. And it's awesome. It's not like anything you've ever done in a Mario Kart level, and it's really, really fun to do. It's a very dynamic level where all kinds of crazy stuff happens. So, I like when they go really crazy with the levels and they have you do things you haven't done before.
Because that's what helps them stand out. And one of the few memorable levels for me on DS comes back in Mario Kart 7, and that's the Waluigi pinball level.
Oh, yeah, it's really
good.
Which
was just such a crazy level, and, you know, I really enjoyed that level. And I love seeing those kind of zany levels show up in the game.
That's right. I mean, Wario Stadium is a classic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
There's a lot of stuff in that level. There's a lot going on, you know.
Yep, yep.
So, quickly, my defense of Mario Kart Double Dash, which is certainly not a popular choice for someone's favorite Mario Kart game, but we already discussed the cooperative Grand Prix. I think because of the cooperative element, it is really the only Mario Kart game where Grand Prix is really fun and is one of the best parts of the game. It's usually a totally forgettable, really kind of just infuriating mode in the game. And in Double Dash, you can spend lots of time in it. And because you're doing it cooperatively, it's really, really fun. And I think it's a shame that feature hasn't at least been optional since then. Mm-hmm. It has the best soundtrack of the entire series. With the whistling.
Oh, yeah.
You will never forget that music. And I think... Mario Kart as a series has so much forgettable music, and Double Dash is the one game in the franchise where the soundtrack really has its own thing. you know, mm-hmm. and it really has its own signature sound to it. So I love that part of it. I already mentioned DK Mountain, which is one of my favorite tracks ever, and my other favorite track ever is called Baby Park.
Yes.
When I first played Double Dash, I thought, what is this? It's just this little oval, and it's really short, and you go around it like 8 times.
Right.
I'm like, what were they thinking? And then you start to play it like at 100cc and 150cc, and it becomes total chaos, and it's so much fun. And it really just kind of condenses everything that's great and awesome about Mario Kart into this tiny little package. Mm. And in order to win that race, you not only have to be lucky, which you always have to be, but you also have to be really technically proficient, not only with your driving skills, but also your combat skills, because the pack is always right there. It's amazing stuff. It's a you know, probably the simplest Mario Kart track, but also surprisingly the most complex to actually succeed on.
Now, unless I'm mistaken, I believe Baby Park was in DS, wasn't it? Wasn't it one of the retro tracks?
I think it was, but it wasn't. I don't think it was as good in DS. I think
it
because
didn't feel the, well, the I mean the
items
are totally
wouldn't
different.
Stay there. Yeah.
So speaking of items, another thing I love about Double Dash, the characters have their own specific special items that only
I always
can
like
have.
The big angry banana.
Yeah.
That's the banana that's pissed off at the world.
Yeah.
It's just going to sit there being like, what?
It's a feature that is not used as well as it could have been, because I think there are only 6 special items for 12 characters. They kind of share, certain teams of characters share the same special item. And I think it could have gone farther with it, but it's still a feature I really miss. They haven't really used it in the following games. And I think, you know, that was a game where it really mattered which character you picked. And the game was a different experience when you played it with a different character. And that's, you know, in Mario Kart 7, the character is completely arbitrary. It's too bad. It was an element of strategy that the game needed, and it's no longer included.
I think that actually in Mario Kart 7, technically, like one of I guess there's the 3 different sizes of characters, and they slightly alter your stats a little bit. But really, when I played that game, I would just go between character and character, and I wound up on Metal Mario because it sounds like he's underwater.
Yeah. There was the land play, which is kind of broken and you know, very, very rarely used. But it was an important feature for Nintendo to at least attempt to put in there. Mm-hmm. And I think it very directly led to the online play in Mario Kart DS a little bit later. So I think it was important for them to include. And then the fact that you can hold 2 items and sideswipe. Particularly if you're playing co-op, the person who's in the back who's handling the combat stuff, they have an attack that you can use even if you don't have an item in hand. And it's very effective. It's kind of it's almost like pulling an element from F-Zero, F-Zero X.
Yeah.
And it makes the races a lot more dynamic because you actually have something to do in between item boxes. And there's a certain risk. You have to get up close to the other person. If you're close enough to swipe them, then they're close enough to swipe you. So you really have to think, is this a good time to do it? Again, it just adds a layer of strategy and problem solving to the racing that you don't get in the other games in the series. And I think it makes it a lot more fun and engaging. Hmm. So there it is. Double Dash is the best game. If you haven't spent enough time with it, Carl, and it sounds like you have not spent nearly enough time with it, you should go back and check it out. Play through some Grand Prix co-op, and you will believe.
Conclusion, everyone should play more Double Dash.
Yeah.
And that's our Mario Kart debate.
I will tell you what, Mr. Jonathan Metz. Next year at PAX East,
we'll play some Double Dash.
Fuck yes.
All right, I'm in. I'll do that.
Handshake. Internet handshake right now.
Internet handshake deal.
Yes, we're playing Double Dash.
Can't back out.
Yes.
Yeah, all right, I'll do that. Look, here's I sort of already stated my case for DS, but for me, it's just the most polished game in the series. It's got a ton of great tracks to offer. It's got really tight controls, and the online ain't half bad if you can avoid the sneakers.
Yeah. The online's actually good. Motion controls, but I always used Wii Remote and Nunchuck, and I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
The motorcycle and carts adds a different dynamic, and it's really polished.
Sure,
I like it. There's a lot of characters, lots of carts. There's the Blue Falcon cart. I always liked that one. That was fun. I really liked that game, and Double Dash is the best. I'm sorry, I have to admit it.
Well, you've certainly gotten me
to the dark side.
You've certainly gotten me interested in playing more. I'll say that. Good. I'll say that much at least. But I think we can all agree that the series could use with a little fresh blood. You know, maybe they need to add some new ideas in there. And it seems like they have the kernels of those ideas.
But they don't go far enough in that direction. They're playing it too safe.
Right.
They usually don't follow through.
Now, in Mario Kart 8, I think if they would give you the option of doing the double dash technique with online so that you can have two people in a cart playing online.
Ooh.
That would be...
I think they should call it Mario Kart Ocho. And do it like a Three Amigos kind of style, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that would be...
Bring in the Herbie the Love Bug and Lindsay Lohan. And get some marketing dollars up in that.
So put Double Dash, give it online mode. Give us different vehicle types that actually... And tracks that use them properly, you know?
Yeah, but see, you had different vehicles in Wii. Mm-hmm. It just... I mean, at least I thought they were more effective than the ones with the parts and crap.
Sure. I can see your point there, but I'm talking about like one of my favorite level probably in Pilot Wings Resort is the squirrel jump. Where you're in the squirrel suit and you have to jump and then you have to sort of like jump off the platform and then glide the way down. I want that so badly in Mario Kart.
I want so badly is for Monster Games to make the next Mario Kart.
Yeah, I love Monster Games.
They can do it. There's so much good stuff in Excite Truck and Excite Bots that could easily be transferred to Mario Kart. It would make that series so much better.
I think we gotta wrap this up on the Excite Truck note because best relatively new IP Nintendo has made like ever.
Gross. Yeah,
fair enough. Hey, this was my first time on Connectivity, so I want to thank you guys for having me. I had a good time, and I appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah, Excite Truck is terrible, but thanks for having me.
Oh, shut up, Carl. This segment is over. This segment is over.
Why are you even on this show, Carl? Oh, my God.
I'm so glad you were sick or you missed the other Excite Truck show, because you would have ruined it.
The best thing about Excite
Carl
Truck...
Carl Scott and I had an awesome time.
The best thing about Excite Truck is Johnny Metz's nickname for it, Fuck Truck.
It's a pretty good nickname.
That is one of the best things about it.
Other than that, I have no effects for Excite Truck. But anyway, I did appreciate coming on. I did enjoy talking Mario Kart with you guys. And now I want to play Double Dash.
I know. Now I do, too. I mean, except for I didn't hate it like you.
Yeah, well,
hey,
I actually like the world.
Let's bust out Warp Pipe and play it online.
Seriously.
I've still got my broadband adapter.
PAX East. We'll follow this up in some sort of podcast. With Double Dash.
Double Drunk Cast.
Yes.
Yes.
Double Drunk Dash.
Double Drunk Dash. I love it.
Well, to make sure Lindemann has it, we can just do it in his apartment.
Exactly.
Triple D's.
Triple D's. All
right.
All right, nice.
All right. Thank you guys for coming on. So the GBA Ambassador games came out recently, and we all have them, as we were all the cool kids who bought the 3DS.
So we tell ourselves.
You know, before, like, we bought it around launch, because we're cool like that. And these cool kids with me are Mike Sklens and Scott Thompson.
Hello, hello.
Yeah.
We say we're cool, but, I mean, are we really?
We're the dorks who bought it for $250.
We're really cool if by... If someone who likes self-justifications is really cool, then we're really cool.
Yeah. but I figured we'll just go... I actually had a list that I called together of all the old reviews, and they're organized in release date fashion on a feature on the site called Know Your Game Boy Advance Ambassador Games, aptly titled. And I'm just going to go through that. So let's start off with the game Mike was just playing before we started recording, F-Zero Maximum Velocity, which was a launch title for the system back in 2001.
I may or may not still be playing it right now while you're talking. I have two laps left.
I feel like I did notice, like, aren't there like 5 laps a race?
Yeah, it's like a marathon, man.
Like, I actually got through 3 laps in the first race that I did and was just like, stopped playing. I was like, wait, it's not done yet?
What's going on?
You've broken the formula.
Yeah.
Hey, it's not, it hasn't always been 5 in F-Zero, has it? No. Isn't it normally 3?
I think it is normal. At least in X, I think it was 3.
Yeah.
And in GX.
I do not remember the Super Nintendo one that well, which this is heavily based off of.
Yeah, this basically is the Super Nintendo one.
Except for Captain Falcon's not in it, because it takes place like 30 years later or something.
Weird.
All the car names are even stupider than the original.
Yes. I think I'm using the Windwalker right now.
In that game, is there the battle mode like there was in the N64 one, I think? Like, that
Death
was always
Race?
My favorite. Yeah, yeah.
No, I think Death Race has only ever been in the N64 one.
Ah, yeah, the N64 F-Zero game is the best in the series.
Yeah, that was my favorite mode, was just going through that and just, yeah, being the final survivor.
Good music, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, Maximum Velocity, I don't know if it's a game that I'll really play all too much, but...
Yeah,
I like F-Zero. I like the series a lot. It's just that after F-Zero X, and even GX, I love that too. But, I mean, like, the original Super Nintendo ones are kind of... Or, I guess, the original Super Nintendo one and the GBA follow-ups are cool, but, like, the series has moved on.
They don't hold up. Like, Mario Kart kind of holds up, but not even, I'm sure, as we'll talk about in a bit, it doesn't totally hold up, but it holds up in 2D a lot better than F-Zero does.
I was going to ask how it looks, because doesn't it do that sort of Mode 7?
Yeah, it's exactly like Mode 7.
Yeah, Super Circuit kind of does the same thing, which is another of the games. It came out a couple months, only 2 months after the system launched in 2001. And it was actually developed by Intelligent Systems. So that's kind of neat. That's actually the first time someone other than Nintendo Internal worked on a Mario Kart game. Retro Studios was not the first group to do that. But, I mean, Super Circuit, I'm kind of neither here nor there. I was never really a huge fan of it when it first came out.
I played this again also, and I forgot this game, the turning, is, like, super loose compared to every other Mario Kart game.
Yeah.
It's weird. It just doesn't feel quite like Mario Kart.
It definitely does feel a little off, at least compared to other games in the series. I mean, as it's evolved, at least.
Yeah, the other ones all feel kind of the same. Like, the turning's pretty tight in all of the games, but it's really loose in this one. Freaks me out.
Kind of related, but when I first played Mario Kart 7, I instinctively wanted to use the D-pad, and I was very upset when I couldn't because I don't like the circle pad.
Really?
Yeah, I know I'm weird, but it just, like, I don't know, it always hurts my hands, so I'm kind of excited to play some Super Circuit with the D-pad.
On the Mario Kart segment that you may or may not be hearing, in this episode.
It should be in this episode.
It should be.
But I think Carl made the comment that he actually prefers playing Mario Kart games with a D-pad.
Yeah.
Because that's why I like DS so much. Or at least part of the reason.
Yeah. Same here.
I don't know. I feel like the circle pad is like, almost feels like it was designed for this game. Like, it's so...
Yeah.
The control is so perfect with it.
Yeah. Although I beat the shit out of my R button on Mario Kart 7, apparently.
Because
I'm probably going to have to get my system fixed.
Ouch. It's
the kind of thing where... I know that this was a problem with the DSi as well, and maybe the DS Lite, but I never had one, so I don't know. But where, like, the shoulder buttons will kind of, like, crap out, where, like, you'll press them. I think it's, like, the spring system kind of goes away. But I did find out a fix where if you blow on it or, like, get, like, some kind of, like, the...
Classic Nintendo.
Yeah. Well, it's also classic Nintendo. It's also classic Nintendo in that you'll have people being like, you shouldn't do that because you'll ruin everything. It's like, I don't care. I'm under warranty. If I just blow into it, it's going to work for a little bit longer. And then eventually when I can, like, when I get the repair, because I file the repair order, I don't know when I'm going to send it. I'm probably going to pick a time where it's like, all right, I'm busy for the next week. I'm not going to be able to play the system anyway. I'm probably going to do it around... Well, I also want to wait until after Christmas because I feel like sending it out now, like the post office
mail,
is going to be slammed.
Yeah, I'll probably wait until play it safe.
I'll wait until closer to the new year, probably.
That's probably a good idea. But yeah, and actually,
still kind of works, and also, I mean, it's not like every game uses the R button, but I'm probably not going to play any Mario Kart 7 in the next 2 weeks.
this like death grip feeling in like my ring finger on my right hand because I'm pressing down so hard on the system and it's like supporting the system in my hand. So I've like cramped up my hand horribly playing Mario Kart over the past couple weeks. I guess that's a good thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a really good game. And I guess speaking of Super Circuit, later in this episode too, or maybe it might be next week, we'll see. There should be a segment about Super Circuit specifically, featuring Nicholas Bray, who apparently is like a super fan for this game, so he really wanted
to... Yeah, he did an Extra Life article, I believe, on Super Circuit a couple months ago.
Wow, that's
so you can read that and hear that. He's a big fan.
That's surprising. I would think most people would probably, if you had to rank the Mario Kart games, most of them would put this at the bottom.
Right, but he says it's like the best single player Mario Kart experience. So, you know, he'll be on.
I can roll
it.
I can see that.
Or next week.
I'll have to play more of this game. So the next game on the ambassador list is Wario Land 4, or Wario Land Advanced, or Advance, as it was called in Japan. And that came out in November 2001. So the system's first holiday, and also like the same friggin' day as the GameCube came out.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of weird to think about. That's why, like, it's why I'm mentioning the release dates for all these games, because it gives good context for, like, how long ago it's been. But I've actually never really played a Wario Land game outside of the Virtual Boy one.
Yeah, same here. I never even played Shake It on the Wii, so.
Oh, no, well, I guess, okay, I have played Shake It, but I haven't played, like, you know, the classic portable ones. I played the Virtual Boy Wario Land to completion, but I've never actually played any of the Game Boy or Game Boy Advance games.
Right. I only played this for a couple minutes, but I was actually kind of impressed by it. I like it a lot. I think it's one I'll probably play the whole way through.
I feel the same way. I've never played it. I think it was came out late in the Game Boy Advance's life, I think.
Well, it came out early.
I was going to say, these are chronological order.
First holiday.
Oh, wow. I feel like it's much older than that. Anyways, I really like it. I mean, it's funny, and I like the kind of mechanic of like how you can kind of like meander through the level, and then when you get to the end, it's like a Metroid escape.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what Wario Land Shake It did, the same kind of thing, which I didn't know that's where it came from. I mean, it could have even come from an older one, but I'm really enjoying this game, and I think I got stuck somewhere is why I stopped playing it, but... It's good. I'll go back to it. I like Wario. He's funny.
Yeah, he is. And I've got a lot of good voice samples and stuff in it, too.
Yeah.
I like going back to these GBA games, too. I mean, I guess probably with the exception of Metroid, but it's funny. They are very, like, old-school designed, where Wario, when you start it, it just kind of, like, pops you right in. You know, there's no real exposition or, like, even, like, a training level, really. You know, it's just kind of like, bam, like, level select. There you go. This is kind of interesting. I just don't feel like you'd see that now. I feel like there'd be a cutscene to intro it and lay out some sort of silly story and, you know, a bunch of different little things.
Yeah. I mean, I really do like how that kind of starts up.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I want to play more of that one eventually. But I've been, you know, occupied by the other games. But there is one game, because of my R button problems, that I played a little bit of and just kind of shelved it for a later date, and that's Yoshi's Island Super Mario Advance 3. Or, I guess as you could call it, Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, Super Mario Advance 3, or some combination of that. And that came out, as far as dating it, it would have been the second year of the system in September. So, like, the dawn of the second holiday of the Game Boy Advance. Which is, I mean, it's kind of crazy to think that there were three Super Mario Advance games basically within, a year and change.
Yeah, that's kind of nuts.
There were four. It was more than three, wasn't it?
Well, there were four, but this was the third one, and it came out a year and 4 months after the system debuted.
Right, that's true.
I mean, I don't know when Super Mario Advance 2 came out, but it probably was either, you know, holiday 2001 or early 2002.
You're probably right.
I mean,
Did you guys like Yoshi's Island? I mean, I like this one all right, but I find it better on the Super Nintendo. But did you guys play any of those a lot back on the GBA?
I never played any of them on the GBA because I owned them on Super Nintendo.
Yeah, exactly. I played them all on Super Nintendo. Union. I didn't see the point.
Yeah, I played like 10 minutes of this. I went through like the first level and it's just, I don't know, it feels off.
It does. It doesn't sound
as good. I think it's because it's being stretched on the screen and it just doesn't look as pretty. And you can boot it up in native resolution by holding select, but then it's so damn tiny on the screen. It's like, I can't even really play it.
That's what I was going to ask you guys, if you play in native resolution or if you,
I tried it.
You played Stretch.
Yeah. I've realized it doesn't bother me as much. Like,
it doesn't really bother me.
There's a lot of people that are like, oh, it looks like garbage. I'm like, yeah, I mean, it doesn't look as good, but it doesn't look that bad.
Yeah.
But I think that's just me with lenient eyes.
Yeah, I think the same here. I don't mind it stretched. It's fine with me.
But, I mean, I love Yoshi's Island. I'll definitely play this over time, but I'm not in a rush because I played this game before.
I was always so disappointed with this. I don't know if I bought it. I think just a friend let me borrow it back in the day, but the fuzzies, you know, that make your screen all disoriented and crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't work on the GBA. Like, no. It doesn't work at all.
Oh, really? I haven't gotten there. If that's the case, I'm not even going to play it. That's the best
level.
Yeah,
you should get to that and see, like, how they did it, because it just, it is not the same effect whatsoever.
Doesn't do that parallax scrolling effect.
Right.
Where, like, the front panel is, like, waving in and out, and the other one's waving left and right.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's
not at all.
I love that. I know I definitely had the time at college when I brought my Super Nintendo, there was a lot of heavy drinking and just touching fuzzy and getting dizzy.
It sounds like doing a drug or like doing something oddly sexual.
Yeah. Dude, I was touching fuzzy and I got so dizzy. But the next game on the list, which came out in the system's second holiday in November, on the same day as Metroid Prime, I believe, and that's Metroid Fusion. Or Metroid 4. Think. But I think so. Because it is the fourth one chronologically, I think. At least at the time it came out, because I guess Other M is before it, and so are all the Prime games.
I really like the Fusion.
This is my first time playing through it. I got it really cheap on Game Boy Advance like 2 or 3 years ago. But the save battery was dead in it, and I never felt like replacing it. And so that's why, because I got Zero Mission at the same time, and Zero Mission save battery worked. I played the shit out of that game.
Yeah.
So I was really happy when I heard this was announced, because I was like, okay, so I'll actually get to play it. And right now I'm like halfway through it, and I prefer Super Metroid and Zero Mission by far, but it's still, it's still fun. It's still a very good game.
What I like about what I like about Fusion is that it's pretty short. A couple of years ago, I was like, must have been incredibly bored one day, and I played through this game. I'd been playing through it like on a Friday and on a Saturday, and I beat it in like 2 days, but I beat it like mid-Saturday, and then later that day I was just like, maybe I'll try playing it again. And then I beat it in a 24-hour window, like from midday Saturday until midday Sunday, I played it a second time and beat it again.
That's amazing.
It's the only time I've ever done anything like that. And I was sort of going for a little bit of a speed run, but I knew I'm not good enough for that. But I was, I don't do anything like that ever with games, and it was really weird. I guess I really like this game.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing that I always like about the Metroid games, like this and Zero Mission, is that it does suck that they're kind of short, but it's almost like you're just, like, playing through a fun movie.
It's compact, yeah. It's not lacking at all. It's just compact.
Yeah.
Though this one is probably one of the reasons it's short is because it's way more linear than most of the other Metroid games. Other M's pretty about as linear, actually.
But Other M's also a lot longer too.
Yeah, but yeah, I like the fact that it's a little more linear. It gives you some room to explore, but it keeps you focused enough, like, so you don't really get lost. Like you do in Super Metroid, like, I get fucking lost on that planet. Like, I can't do it sometimes. And I'll be like, what fucking column am I in right now? Am I supposed to be anywhere near here? Like, I don't know. I mean, I like that. And actually, I think that's what I like about Metroid 2, which unfortunately Zach and I still have yet to record a segment on. But Metroid 2 feels a lot like Fusion in that regard, where it's like you can only get so far, and then you got to kill all the Metroids if you want to lower the lava.
Yeah.
It's like the same idea. It kind of keeps it sectionalized.
I need to play more Metroid 2. Maybe by the time you guys record that segment, I will have played more Metroid 2.
Yeah, since I suggested that segment, I have not played it. Like, almost in like 3 weeks. So I'm just where I was about halfway through it.
Well, what I did is because I think it came out on Thanksgiving, I downloaded it on Thanksgiving, and I was reviewing Mario Kart at the time. So I basically like downloaded it, played it for 15, 20 minutes, and was like, okay, cool, I'm going to play more Mario Kart. There's been just a deluge of games on 3DS. It's been wonderful.
Yeah. And not even without the Ambassador games, just between Mario and Mario Kart, it's wonderful.
Yeah. So the next game on the list was actually reviewed by Mike Sklenz back when it came out in 2003, and that's WarioWare Inc. Mega Micro Games, the first game in that awesome, awesome series.
This one is really good. Really, really
This is the ambassador game that I put the most time into at this point. I mean, it's only like 3-4 hours. I beat it. It's not that long of a game. But it's so fun and it's so zany. This is actually the only WarioWare game I've never played, and I enjoyed the crap out of it. I mean, it still holds up. It's simple. It's good.
It's so pure too, because it's the first one. So it's like they didn't stretch. Like they could do anything they wanted, and they did.
Yeah, and I feel like there's more of a coherent story in this one. And all the other ones I can never follow it. Whereas this one,
it's this one they actually make attempt at a narrative in the beginning of this game.
Yeah. I do like the one with, I think, Dr. Krygor, where it's like he really has to go to the bathroom, and then he goes into the bathroom, and then that's when it starts.
Yeah.
And then, like, at the end of it, like, the bathroom overflows, and he gets, like, shot through the air and picked up by a bird or something.
Oh, God, that sounds insane.
It sounds like WarioWare. But
yeah, I love WarioWare. It's like, I mean, I gave it a 9.5. I reread my review this week. And I really love it. It's like, I don't know, I still feel like I stand by the review, like, totally. I still think it's, like, a really perfect, perfect portable game, where it's just like, I have 2.5 minutes to kill. What can I do? Like, you can't do that in any other game.
Yeah.
Like, I have 2.5 minutes. Like, I can't finish an F-Zero race in 2.5 minutes, so I can't do that.
Yeah, because they give you 5 fucking laps.
Yeah.
For some reason.
So, but WarioWare is like, well, the game takes 4 seconds.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like a good run will still only be 5 minutes long.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's perfect like that. And plus, I mean, you could remove all of the games that aren't 9 volts. And if you just had 9 volts games, I would still pay full price for
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Just
I love
doing
the
little
games.
Snippets of the that Nintendo is, games is so great.
That is my favorite part of every WarioWare game.
Oh, yeah. I think it's everyone's. Stuff. Yeah, it's absolutely best.
Yeah. The next Ambassador game is actually a sequel to probably Game of the Year on Virtual Console 3DS, Donkey Kong 94. It's Mario vs. Donkey Kong, which came out approximately 10 years after DK94. But it's not developed by Nintendo. Well, I guess
it
is
NST.
Nintendo. Yeah, it's NST, the Redmond studio that pretty much just
Digipen
makes...
DigiPen Kids.
Yeah, that they basically just make Mario vs. Donkey Kong games at this point. They've made 3 or 4 after this one.
Yeah, but this is the only one that's like DK94, isn't it? The other
yeah.
ones are all focused on the minis and the puzzling stuff.
Yeah.
This is,
which is
action
still good,
platformer.
But it's not as good as this.
It's not. It's nowhere near
as
good.
And I would definitely
good.
Say, I think I'm in the third world now, and it's good. It's not nowhere near as, I guess, like, as we were talking about, like, pure as the original.
Yeah, it clutters it up with, like, I don't mind the presents, like, finding the presents. Well, that was in the first
yeah.
one, too, wasn't it, actually?
Yeah.
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 So, I mean, I guess it's mostly, like, I guess the minis. Like, I don't mind the mini levels. I think they're fine.
It just feels like it's, like, I mean, it's just not as clever. Like, that's my kind of issue with it, is that you can kind of tell that this is just made by DigiPen Kids.
Yeah, it's kind of like, play this old Game Boy game a lot, now kind of make a sequel to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what it kind of feels like. And it's not bad. It just doesn't feel as inventive and clever and awesome
yeah,
as the prior game.
It doesn't really add anything new to the formula, except for the minis.
Yeah.
But it's not really, like, they're nothing like it. It's, you collect these minis, and then you use them to play an entirely different game.
Yeah.
Like, they have no correlation to each other other than the fact that they use the same character.
I do love, for anyone that has this, they should watch the opening cinema, because there's a lot of, like, weird Mario voiceover stuff in this. Like,
yeah.
I actually was reading somewhere that apparently, like, basically Charles Martinet just riffs as Mario over the entire end credits and makes comments about himself appearing in the credits.
Wow, I'll have to
like,
this
there's again. There is a lot of, like, Mario dialogue, and it's kind of humorous in how they have all this voice acting. And there's Donkey Kong, like, you know, grunts a lot, too.
He sounds like Tim Allen.
Yeah.
I forgot, this game may have my favorite song of any Game Boy Advance game. Like, as soon as you boot it up and it plays that mix of the Mario theme and the Donkey Kong Country theme, they're kind of blended together and it keeps switching off the parts between one and the other. It's like, it's so good.
The one thing that does kind of, like, also ring false with me is that they have something that's, like, approximates the DK94, like, victory music. but it just sounds like shit compared to the original. But that's just once again with me, it's like DK94 and Super Mario Land 2 were like the two Game Boy games I had as a kid. So, like, DK94 is severely ingrained in my brain from the music to the levels to everything.
But... yeah, see, I never played it at all until this. I played Mario vs. DK years ago, and I thought, oh my god, this is amazing! And then I played DK94, and I was like, no, that was really good. This is amazing.
Yeah, I totally missed this game. I don't really know why, because I really did love DK94, and even if it's not as good, I don't know. But, yeah, so the next game on the list came out mid-2004, and that's Kirby and the Amazing Mirror, which is developed by kind of like a roster of superb developers, because HAL Labs was involved, as it is a Kirby game, Flagship, and they made...
The Oracle Zeldas.
Yeah, pretty much all, like Minish Cap as well, and then Dimps, who they did a lot of the recent 2D Sonic games. But yeah, Kirby and the Amazing Mirror, the whole hook with that, though, is that there's like four Kirbys, and there's supposed to be a multiplayer component, but you do not have that in this. But it does still work where, like, there are still three other Kirbys going around, and you can, like, run into them in the rooms. It's kind of Metroid-like. I played a little bit of this game. I actually haven't played my Ambassador copy yet. Have either of you guys?
I played, like, the first minute of it, and I was like, this is confusing, what's going on. I guess that means if I can't handle four Kirbys, I guess I should never try Mass Attack.
Can you, like, switch between the Kirbys?
I don't know. I played, like, a minute of it, so...
Right, I didn't see that you could. They just kind of tag along behind you. I don't know. I feel like they don't really do very much to help.
Yeah. I concur.
But, yeah, so, none of us have really spent that much time about it. If we are wrong and we should be playing the crap out of this game right now, let us know. The next game on the list, which is actually one that I kind of beat about half of it a couple months ago, The Legend of Zelda The Minish Cap, and that came out after the DS came out in early 2005, and that's also developed by Flagship. This is a really great game. I need to beat it, but because I played through half of it like 6 months ago over the summer, I'm not in any kind of rush.
I never played this game. I had zero interest in it when it came out. I'm not a big 2D Zelda fan. I know it's kind of, I guess, blasphemy to say something like that, but it's a... I don't know. I think this is the only one I haven't booted up yet. I want to play it, but I know it's something that's going to, like, need a little bit of an investment to, like, sit down, because I'm sure there's, like, a little exposition, and I've kind of just been dicking around with these games. I haven't really sat down and played one for real.
Yeah.
So I'm going to wait until I don't know, probably until I beat Skyward Sword, which is soon.
Hopefully.
I'm very close. I'm on the final quest, though. I'm on the quest where there is a glitch, so I'm making sure to do it in a different order. So I don't get glitched.
But, Scott, have you played Minish Cap at all?
I did back in the day, yeah. I never beat it. I liked it, though. I mean, it was fine. I guess I'm kind of the same as, like, Mike. Like, 2D Zelda just doesn't really do it for me anymore. But I've got no problems with it. I mean, it's good.
Yeah, I mean, I think Link to the Past is great, but I definitely think that, for me, 3D Zelda trumps 2D Zelda. It looks like you guys are on the same page as that.
Yep.
But from when I was playing a Minish Cap, how we were talking about, like, you know, Metroid Fusion being a very compact game, I feel like this is the same way. As, you know, I got what I assume, I beat two dungeons in this game, and it felt like it took no time at all. But it's not like, you know, it felt like it was bad. It just was very condensed. Where it's, you know, you do have a little overworld exploration, but there's not a lot of it, and the dungeons are pretty focused. I do like the going between big and small. They use that really effectively from what I've played of it. And this is the kind of game that I look forward to playing, but, man, I've played a lot of Zelda this year. Like, I think I have actually completed four Zelda games this year from start to finish, which is kind of absurd.
That's impressive.
Because, you know, Ocarina of Time 3D, Skyward Sword, Wind Waker, and Link's Awakening. And then I've played bits and pieces of Twilight Princess and Minish Cap. It's been, I've celebrated the 25th anniversary a lot. Oh, and I also tried playing Zelda 2 again, but, Yeah, I'm never beating Zelda 2. That game.
I stopped. You know, I had been talking about it like months ago on the podcast. I was talking about how much I liked it. I was really digging it. I always hated it before. And I'm really close to the end. And like after we recorded that episode, I don't think I've touched it.
See, my thing with Zelda 2.
That's bad. The same thing happened to me with Metroid.
My thing is that with Zelda 2, I don't think that Zelda 2 is a bad game. Like, I was enjoying it, but it's just like, it's such a pain in the ass that I just don't want
to
deal with it.
Oh, you died. Have fun walking halfway across the ground again.
Yeah, that's what killed me.
Random fucking battles. I got to walk through a forest and I got to deal with this shit. Like,
that's
what Link must feel like. Can't believe this shit.
That's why I stopped playing the game is because I got to, like, the boss of the first dungeon, and I died, like, 2 or 3 times. And I had to make the fucking trek all the way back every time.
Yeah.
And I was just like, no, you're not worth my time.
You have to. It's a grind. It's a total grind.
Yeah. Like, I wish they, like, I know Andy's talked about this, and he actually likes Zelda 2 a whole lot. And I agree with him, where if they could just do, like, a remake of this game, where they just clean up the mechanics a little bit, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I think that game would be great. It's just that I don't feel like dealing with the game as it is because it's kind of broken.
Yeah, it's such a bitch. It's fun, and it's got good gameplay. It's just a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
Like, you navigate through this temple, except one of the walls is actually a secret passage, and it looks exactly the fucking same. Good luck finding it. In a new Zelda game, that wall has a crack on it.
Yeah.
Like, it points itself out, even if it's subtle.
Well, that's the thing that I hate about the original Legend of Zelda 2, is it's the same kind of thing.
Metroid 2 has the same problem, because there's not enough, like, sprites available on the Game Boy screen, so the hidden passage walls don't look any different.
Yep. There was, like, one time I was just, like, I was in a Morph Ball, and I hit a wall, and all of a sudden I just went past it and, like, found a Metroid to kill, and I was like, wait, how did this happen? How would I have ever found that, ever? Yeah.
Because you were insanely bored, and you turned on the spider ball, and you crawled every wall in the section from start to finish. That's how you find all the Metroids.
Yeah,
I can't imagine playing this game without a map.
I think Metroid 2 and Zelda 2, both good games, just, you know, kind of janky.
Yeah.
And the last Ambassador game, which I have not touched, is Fire Emblem the Sacred Stones, which...
I've not booted this up either.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I really enjoy the Fire Emblem games, especially ones like this. I think I played the original Game Boy Advance one. I actually played it to completion during an economics class in high school. nice. Like, just would legitimately just sit there playing Fire Emblem for probably a month or two in that class, and like would still like raise my hand, answer questions. I'd just be playing Fire Emblem throughout the entire time.
Let's
really
slow pace,
first...
so you can, like, you know, take a note and then look down. What's the next menu command? Like, just kind of leave
that is basically, like, what I remember of the original Fire Emblem game. And this one, and I borrowed the original one from a friend of mine, and I also borrowed the second one from a friend of mine, but I never really played that much of it because I'd played the original so much.
Yeah, I kind of said it on Twitter, and maybe I've said it on here in the past, but this is the game I'm most excited about. I haven't really sat down and played it yet, but I feel like strategy games like these, for the most part, unless they're exceptionally old, just hold up the best. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're talking.
I was just going to say, because the gameplay has been refined over time, and, you know, I don't think that it ages as poorly as, you know, some of the other games, especially since graphics aren't really a big concern in games like these. And I love Fire.
Yeah, I was going to say... It's great. It'd be better if you could, you know, do a save restore kind of thing on it. Like, it kind of sucks that you can't, like, just shut the system in the middle of it.
Yeah, I hope they do kind of patch that in down the line.
Yeah, I guess they've said they're going to do that with the NES games, but at least the NES games boot to a little, have a little menu down there. These got nothing. They got a warning screen that thankfully if you touch will vanish.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Yeah, that screen, the first thing I did was, oh, God, I hope I can get rid of this. All you have to do is touch it, and it just fades black.
But, I mean, this actually reminds me of something that the three of us had a conversation about on Twitter, where the official Nintendo line for the Game Boy Advance games is that they will only be available through the Ambassador program, which I'll admit definitely reeks of bullshit, and, like, they're going to come out eventually. It's just that I don't think we're going to see them anytime soon.
Right, and I'm of the opinion we'll see him in the first half of next year.
I think we'll see him by the end of 2012. I think we will see GBA games available as virtual console games probably earlier in 2012, like halfway through it. But I think the thing is they're not gonna use any of these 10 games right away, because they'll have to at least save face for a while.
Yeah.
At least until the end of 2012, and then be like, Merry Christmas, we're getting everyone these games.
Yep.
But you have to pay for them, suckers.
That's the ambassador games. I hope if you are an ambassador,
you're
enjoying
them. Oh,
wait, I want to
know. Let's do real quick. All three of us. I think we did this for the first NES ambassador games. What do you think is the best one? What do you think is the worst one? And which one surprised you the most, or do you think will surprise you the most?
Oh, jeez.
Worst one, F-Zero. Best one. Crap. I'm going to have to say WarioWare. And the one that surprised me the most... Crap, I don't know. Wario Land. Wario Land 4.
There you go.
I didn't think it would be as good as it is. And WarioWare, to me, is the best. Although, to be fair, I haven't played Minish Cap yet, which I think would be very good. And Fire Emblem, which I think would be very good for, a portable like this.
Right. I'll go. I would say the best one is Metroid Fusion. It's like one of my favorite games, as I explained earlier. So, though there's a lot of good ones, like I would put WarioWare and Mario DK both up there pretty close. The worst one I would say is probably F-Zero or maybe Mario Kart.
They don't hold up well.
Mode 7 racing doesn't work anymore.
You also have to think about it. I mean, we're talking about those as the worst. Those were also the first, like, they came out around launch.
Yeah, that's
Game
right.
Advance. Whereas a lot of the ones that we're saying are really good came out, like, 2 or 3 years after.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And I would say the most surprising one is probably Wario Land 4, though I haven't played Zelda or Fire Emblem either.
How we all kind of didn't play the same ones.
Yeah, I know.
They're the time commitment ones. You can't just play them.
Yeah, you can't just boot them up for a minute.
That's why Wario's the best one, too.
Yep.
My best one is WarioWare, or favorite one, I should say. It's just so good. My least favorite, or the worst one, it's not really because of the game, it's just because I've played so much of the series now, I don't have any interest right now, but it's just Zelda, Minish Cap. Between Skyward Sword and Ocarina, and then I even played, Link's Awakening and all that, it's just, no interest in Zelda right now. So, now I don't know if I'll ever play that one. And then biggest surprise probably, Wario Land, I would think. I had no expectations going in, but it's actually a lot of fun, so.
Huh, it's interesting. Yeah. We all picked the same one.
Basically, yeah. Although my Fire Emblem could eventually be my favorite, I just haven't actually sat down to really play it yet, so.
Yeah. That'll probably be the first time commitment one I really get into.
Right, yeah.
I'll play it until one of my characters dies, and then I'll just give up.
Yeah, that's always
it still does that thing where, like, when a dude dies, he's gone,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's, like, a staple of the series there. But, I mean, just between Pushmo and Mario Kart and Mario and anything else, it's just hard to find time to sit back.
Well, I mean, my thing is that these Game Boy Advance games ain't going anywhere. I'll have them to play for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, after this holiday rush, like, the next big game that's not coming out is until Luigi's Mansion. In February, right?
Well, I mean, Mike, where have you been?
Oh, wait, I know they put release dates out, but I forgot them.
Yeah, well, there's Resident Evil Revelations, February.
Don't care about that.
And the only Nintendo published one is Kid Icarus on March 23rd.
Oh, wasn't Luigi coming out? I guess Luigi will be out before the end of the fiscal year.
Probably not.
Wow, that's a big delay for that game.
Yeah, Kid Icarus Uprising.
Because they never anything at E3 that's not coming out within the next 12 months, almost
generally.
Ever.
I would say Luigi's Mansion would probably be like a May release. I hope
It'll make it out before E3.
Yeah, or it'll be like in the Ocarina. It'll be like in the Ocarina of Time 3D window. But I think that window will be a little earlier because, the system's not out 3 months before.
Yeah, most likely it'll be out right before E3, but I guess it might come out like a week or 2 weeks after. Sometimes that happens.
Yeah, that May-June window will probably be Luigi's Mansion 2 territory. And then hopefully we'll be getting, your Animal Crossings and your Paper Marios and stuff like that.
Oh, I have another question for you guys. if you could add one game to the GBA list, what would you add?
Ooh.
I don't even know the answer myself.
I mean, the one thing, it's totally unrealistic, but Super Mario Bros. 3 with all the e-reader levels. But that wouldn't happen.
That would be really good.
Drill Dozer.
Oh, people love that game.
I got that. I got that in Boktai. It was basically like novelty Game Boy Advance card day for me. I got that like a year or two ago.
So I'm kind of the inverse from you, Neil, where I played Fusion, but I never got a chance to play Zero Mission. So I'd love for that to show up there.
Zero Mission's really good. Even the stealth part, which is kind of crummy, is still at least pretty good.
At the end, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think Zero Mission is better than Fusion, but in my own selfish way, I'm glad Fusion made the list instead of Zero Mission because I've never played Fusion.
Fusion's more original, though, and they already released the original Metroid as an NES ambassador.
True.
Game, and that'd be really lame to basically give you the same game twice. I can't even think of what my favorite Game Boy Advance game is, because it's probably WarioWare.
I mean, Twisted would have been cool.
Twisted would be cool, and the system does have a gyroscope in it. They definitely could
have That's true.
Pulled it off, but
some of the Advance Wars are really good.
Yeah, those are good.
Oh, yeah, an Advance Wars game would be fun. Kirby Nightmare in Dream Land is a really good remake of the original.
Yeah. Man, I can't even think. I guess maybe the Pokemon games, I'm surprised there's not one in there, but I guess they probably plan on selling you those, so.
Yep. I'm still, like, I think we'll get the original Red and Blue at some point.
I think so.
Oh, yeah. It'll be gangbusters. They just got to figure out a way to get the link cable to work with the IR port on the system.
Yep. Like, that would be, you know, big money. And the good thing is that because Pokemon Red and Blue were so dated, and, I mean, they've already been, like, I don't think we'll see the Game Boy Advance ones, but I think we'll see the original Game Boy ones because I feel like that wouldn't really ruin any future sales of Pokemon games. It would just, you know, prey on nostalgia, which I guess Pokemon kind of does every day of every year.
Yeah, it seems smart to release Red or Blue or Yellow. Hopefully, I would get Yellow if they released Yellow.
Yeah.
And you know when they'll do it, they'll release all three.
Yeah.
Make you pony up $4 for each of them if you want to collect them all. Man, I really can't even think of what my favorite... Oh, you know what I would add? It's not a Nintendo game, but I would add Ninja 5-0.
Oh, I heard that game's awesome.
Yeah, I got a review copy of that, and then I sold it, like, months later because it, like, went out of production immediately, but it got amazing review scores. It's all, like, the collectors wanted it, so I sold it for, like, 30 or 40 bucks. Which is like what it cost. Like, I didn't want to jip the guy off, but it had been out for a long time at that point. And normally a game like that would probably be like worth $10 on the resale market. But it was super rare. Plus, a lot of people would get to play it then.
Yeah.
Oh, and we should ask our listeners what they think should be added.
Yeah. We will
send us an email or tweet us.
But yeah, I think that just about does it for this segment. Enjoy your ambassador games, guys.
Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to a connectivity segment on Mario Kart Super Circuit. I'm Nicholas Bray, one of the Australian correspondents, and I'm here with Pedro Hernandez.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Pedro. Okay, Mario Kart Super Circuit. What's your general thoughts on the game so far, Pedro?
Well, I remember getting the game for Christmas way back in 2001. I got it with a bunch of other GBA games. And at the time, I thought it was really cool because it was the... A lot of people seem to forget that Mario Kart Super Circuit was the first ever handheld Mario Kart game, and at the time I thought it was really cool being able to play Mario Kart on the Game Boy Advance and take it everywhere I go. But I think that it was kind of like an experiment, much like Super Mario Kart was an experiment, in that, the game is good, but there's no denying that some of the things Super Circuit did on the GBA were done slightly better on the DS and 3DS, at least in my opinion.
Right. my pass with the game is fairly similar to you. I got it for Christmas 2001 and proceeded to play it a lot over the next, you know, 6 months or whatever. I think the game carves out its own little niche in the Mario Kart history, though, in that it's probably one of the strongest single-player entries in the series. I just think it can be quite a bit more challenging than the later 3D entries, like on the handheld at least.
Yeah, I would say that I have to agree with you in that Super Circuit does seem like the most heavy single-player Mario Kart game so far, and I blame it on the fact that this being a handheld game, at the time it was kind of hard to get a four-player game going because you need to buy four copies on the game, and then you have to buy the link cables, and then find three other players that also had the game and their link cables. So the strongest aspect of Mario Kart, which is the multiplayer, was kind of gimped with Super Circuit, and I believe that's why a lot of people seem to pass over Super Circuit and prefer other entries like Mario Kart 64, Double Dash, or Mario Kart Wii, because in those games the multiplayer was really realized, while in Super Circuit was kind of limited due to the technology. That's why I say that it's kind of similar to Super Mario Kart in that the ideas are presented, and they're presented really, really good, but it has some features that wouldn't be perfected until much later entries.
Yeah, I agree with the multiplayer not being a large focus. I only ever got to play it a handful of times over the years with actual multi-card multiplayer in Super Circuit. The single player really does feel like a mix between Mario Kart 64 and Super Mario Kart, and that the game looks a bit more like Mario Kart 64, and the gameplay is it's still in between Mario Kart 64 and Super Mario Kart. Like we've got the red shells, we've got the blue shell, we've got a few different tweaks to the game. There's a short it's not a power slide, but when you go around a corner for an extended period of time, you do get a short mini boost off of it now as well. That's a couple of things I was thinking about in terms of the single player. What did you think about any of the changes to the game since Mario Kart 64?
I think by the time I played Super Circuit, I was already a really big fan of Mario Kart 64. I think to this day, that's one of the most polished and best entries in the series. So when I came into Super Circuit, I was kind of taken away by the fact that the controls were a little bit looser than some of the characters. Like, for example, I used to love Yoshi. He was my main character in Mario Kart 64. So when I went back to play as Yoshi on Super Circuit, I felt that the controls were a little bit loose on the lightweight characters. I had to pick some of the heavier characters in order to play it. So that to me was a little bit of a turnoff, in that the controls were not as tight, but at the same time they allow for
seems to be a common complaint that comes up. Played as Toad.
I think that was a problem that a lot of people had with the game as well.
So coming to my Super Circuit was it was a little bit of an adjustment, but I don't think it was too far off what the 64 game controlled like. It's on a D-pad, and the power slide mechanic wasn't really there. You have to really more like jump around corners or take your finger off the accelerator quickly just to tighten up the turn, I found. What do you think about that?
At first I didn't notice it when I was playing it, because every time I go into a Mario Kart game, I don't expect the things that were available in the first games, or the first few set of games, and be carried over to this game. But at first I didn't have any problems with it, because I was still too focused on how the controls were looser than before. But I think the reason they kind of scaled back on the strategy is because they knew that they were making a a more single player focused game. So I would put this, so maybe that's one of the reasons they scaled back on the gameplay mechanics from previous games, because they were working on something that was more limited, and maybe because it was on the Game Boy Advance, the controls and the game engine, they didn't allow for something far more deeper, which I think they were able to develop further with Double Dash and the DS and Mario Kart Wii, so on and so forth.
Super Circuit really was like the last Mario Kart in that more classic style. When we got to Double Dash, it kind of started going off into more crazy kinds of karts and lots more characters and things. So Super Circuit seems to be like the last in the line of Super Mario Kart, Mario Kart 64, and then ending with Super Circuit, in that the karts are all standardized, really. Just the characters themselves seem to be the main change to what the karts handle like. A few of the items had a few different tweaks as well in the game. Noticeably, the red shell can now be dropped as a homing mine, which I thought was pretty cool.
I have to agree with you when you said that Super Circuit was kind of like the last Mario Kart to feel classic, because one thing I forgot to mention earlier is that it was indeed like a mix between Mario Kart 64 and Super Mario Kart. The graphics are kind of a little bit like Mario Kart 64, but at the same time, they're kind of like Super Mario Kart in how the tracks are designed. They kind of look like Mode 7 graphics, and it really does feel like it was the last classic Mario Kart game, because, like you said, afterwards, we were getting sort of mid gimmicks thrown into the gameplay design. Like with Double Dash, we had the two characters mechanic alongside the same cards, and then with Mario Kart Wii, we got the bikes and online and more focus on the cards as well. So yeah, I agree with you that Super Circuit is the last one to feel truly classic.
I think that the frustration in the gameplay of in a single player Grand Prix in Super Circuit is not as aggravating as it is later on in later entries in the series. The blue shell hardly makes an appearance. You can crank up your top speed by collecting coins, and you can even outrun pretty much every item. I think that was one of the main problems I have with later entries, is that you can't really do anything about certain items. Like, you just have to sit there and take it. In Super Circuit, you can actually skillfully, like, if you get skillful enough, you can overcome pretty much anything that the CPU can throw at you.
That's something that killed Mario Kart Wii for me, in that you really can't do anything when you are hit by the items. Like, for example, you can escape the bullet bill, the giant bullet bill. You can escape that. Once you're hit, you lose a lot of time. Then you had the blue shell. It was a game that was really designed to let people that don't exactly play Mario Kart win the game. And that's something that really frustrated me to the point where I felt like I could no longer play the game and have fun with it. It would be like, I would be playing it, and then I would be angry or annoyed because just as I was about to reach the finish line, something would hit me, and then I would go from first to 5 or 6 plays in less than a minute. Mario Kart Super Circuit was indeed more focused on fun, not exactly on all of these mechanics.
Yeah, you can, like, the game can screw you over still in Super Circuit, but I think once you get really into the game and you can really get into the tracks and know how to deal with certain items and stuff, you can pretty much just win by a lot of the time.
One thing that I was going to mention about Super Circuit is that, much like Super Mario Kart has some ideas of its own that will later become standards in the other Mario Karts, Super Circuit had for the first time, it had the classic course. Like, they brought over the courses from Super Mario Kart and brought it over to Super Circuit, and from then on, every single Mario Kart game will have at least a classic tracks cup. And as you guys know, from that moment on, the retro carts will be, the carts will be more elaborate, better, more fun to play with. Like, even something out of Super Mario Kart, which were basically, the courses were basically these flat textures that just rotated as you control the character. In the other entries, the courses were more dynamic, more fun to play with. They were more interesting. Plus, it got players excited for the fact that they were going to see classic tracks redone in a new style. Like, for example, in Mario Kart 7, we get to see a lot of the Mario Kart 64 tracks done in a new higher definition 3D graphics. And that's something that really started with Super Circuit, and a lot of people seem to forget that.
Super Circuit, I thought, was amazing for having pretty much double the amount of tracks of any previous Mario Kart. Having the Super Mario Kart courses included was such a big deal to me back then.
It was a big deal to me too, because there was a lot of stuff to do now. Not only do you get to unlock not only do you get to complete the first set of tracks, you get to go to the other set of tracks as I keep playing for hours and hours, even if you didn't have friends to play multiplayer with.
Yeah.
So anyways, I would say that while at the very beginning the Super Mario Circuit became kind of like an underrated, overlooked Mario Kart entry, it seems that in the last few years, especially after Mario Kart became more experimental in terms of gameplay design, now it has gotten a little bit of a following. Now, especially since I started working on Nintendo World Report, there seems to be a lot of people that actually like Super Circuit over something like the Mario Kart DS, which to this day is still held as the best Mario Kart entry in the entire series.
I think Mario Kart Super Circuit still feels like it. People don't really like it or enjoy it as much compared to like later entries, such as the DS one. But that I would have to assume that comes down mainly due to the multiplayer advances in the series up until that point. Everyone seems to complain about the way the game controls, and I feel that once you sit back, and really play it for a couple of cups or just even the 50cc cups themselves, you would probably start to feel like the game plays very fast. You can zip around the tracks really quickly. The graphics look better than... It's much easier to look at Super Circuit graphically than it is to go back and look at Super Mario Kart in terms of the way the camera moves around or the layers move around the screen. It seems to be much easier to just look at Super Circuit compared to Super Mario Kart.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that statement, because even though Super Mario Kart is still a great game, it's still a great game to go back and play, you get taken aback by how it was designed, because like I said, it was the first game of its kind and it was really experimental. So you get thrown back by the two split screen mechanic, where on the top side of the screen you get the character and you get to ride around a flat texture, while underneath you get the whole map. That's something that hasn't really been done to you. Mario Kart DS, when it introduced the second screen, where you could see your character on the upper screen, and then you could get to see the map on the lower screen. And that's something that turns a lot of people off away from Super Mario Kart. So I agree in that, at the very least, even if Super Circuit isn't the most popular entry in the series, at the very least, it's easier to go back to it than other entries.
Yeah. Just the 2D ones, which there has only been two Mode 7 Mario Karts. I think there only will ever be two Mode 7 Mario Karts.
Mm-hmm. Also, it's very interesting to know, and that's something that I may notice on the innovations of Mario Kart feature that I made for the site just in time for the launch of the Mario Kart 7. And that's, even though we have 7 games in the franchise, and not all of them and not all of them completely share the gameplay, it's always going to be the same with Mario Kart. They all have these differences and these little small gameplay mechanics and tweaks that make them a little bit stand out from the rest. So well, even though a lot of people seem to agree that Mario Kart 64, the Mario Kart DS is the best game ever, a lot of people seem to get into debates of as to what is their favorite Mario Kart. And I think one of the reasons that people forget about Super Circuit is because it's very classic in its design, it's very experimental, and like I already mentioned many times before, its multiplayer is kind of limited, but that, at the same time, it is unstable considering the limitations that they had on the handheld.
Like single cart multiplayer was like four tracks, and everyone was a Yoshi, so it's very limited. Just going back to like the feel of the game quickly, like I think in the 3D Mario Karts mainly, that the sense of the corners are all there's not as many tight turns and really fast reflexes required to just navigate the courses in the later ones. I think the 2D tracks have a certain adrenaline-filled kineticness to the way you have to like play the track that the 3D ones lose and lack just via the virtue of them being 3D and more spacious in the environments, really.
Not to mention it allows players and maybe to an extent the designers to experiment with shortcuts and tread design, whereas the 2D Mario Kart, where everything was flat and it didn't allow for much experimentations. They were all working with a flat texture that they had to rotate according to how the player was controlling the character, whereas the 3D Mario Kart, they had more options.
They had hills and things.
Yeah, they had more options. They had more obstacles to put in. And they no longer had the fear of abusing the technology they were working on. They knew that with the GameCube, they would be able to do things that they couldn't do on Mario Kart 64, so on and so forth.
What's your favorite track from Super Circuit, Pedro?
Yeah, I have to say, I don't remember the name exactly, but I really liked the one with the ribbons. I think it was Ribbon Track.
Ribbon Road.
Yeah, Ribbon Road. I also like the one track where, I don't know if it was Rainbow World, but I remember that track because it had a Paper Mario reference in the background. It had the Bowser's clown copter with Peach's Castle on top. I don't remember the name of the track as a whole, but it had a reference to it, which reminds me, wasn't Super Circuit one of the first games to be developed by another developer? Is that Intelligent Systems? I may be mistaken.
I think that's the only Mario Kart to be developed outside of EAD.
I mentioned that because it had a very clear Paper Mario reference, and Intelligent Systems at the time did the Paper Mario game for the N64. So now that you mention it, this is the very first Mario Kart game that was developed by another company within Nintendo. I mean, sure, we had Retro do some of the tracks in Mario Kart 7, but now that I realize Super Circuit is innovative in that somebody else worked with the gameplay.
It does, like, maybe that's why some of the tweaks to the way the items work and stuff never appeared again as well.
Maybe because that was a one-time development process for Nintendo.
I wonder why Super Circuit was passed off to Intelligent Systems. I guess it's known somewhere, but I'm not sure why it was actually outsourced, kind of.
Well, again, considering that this was the first handheld game that they were working on, the first, because I do remember that when the Game Boy Advance was revealed for the first time in Space World, went back when they used to hold it, Nintendo used to hold it, it was one of the first games to be shown off for the Game Boy Advance. So maybe, and this is my theory right now, maybe the reason Nintendo handed it over to Intelligent Systems because they wanted to see how other developers worked with the Game Boy Advance. Because if I'm not mistaken, at the time, Nintendo was working with ports, like ports of Super Mario All-Stars and the different entries. So maybe they needed to hand over some of their IPs to other developers so they could get a feel of how they work and how they work with the hardware.
Yeah, I suppose. And I guess Nintendo's EAD teams would have been tied up doing something for GameCube at the time as well.
That could be it, because the next year after they revealed the Game Boy Advance, they were really focusing on the GameCube, because they were revealed almost at the same time, but the Game Boy Advance came first. Like, it came out in the summer of 2001, while the GameCube was going to be released on the fall of 2001. So maybe at the time, Nintendo was focusing all of these development teams, their main development teams, on the GameCube so that they could have a working system by the time it was released on 2001.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, we don't want to get too off track. We were talking about tracks themselves. Sorry?
No pun intended, because you said not to get off track.
I didn't even realize that. Anyway, going back to the courses themselves for the GBA-designed levels in Super Circuit, my favorite two tracks would probably be Sky Garden and either one of the Luigi's race courses, and yeah, like Ribbon Road, like you were saying before. I think some of the shortcuts you can pull off in some of these tracks are also really clever, in that you can hit certain jumps with the mushroom and you'll be able to go up really high in the sky and jump over whole sections of the course.
Yeah, so even then, before everybody was too focused on shortcuts, Super Circuit was kind of experimented with the track design and how players would adapt to it.
Yeah, like, if you hit certain jump, like small hop jump things, you'd be able to, yeah, literally jump really far over certain parts of the courses.
And like I already said before, the design of the classic courses was really good. Now that I mentioned it, bless you. Earlier, it was kind of interesting to play the classic courses without the second screen dividing the television screen. Like I already mentioned, on the upper half you had the character and the lower half you had the map. So it was kind of interesting to see how they took the classic courses and updated them slightly to fit the Game Boy Advance screen, as well as the Super Circuit's own gameplay design. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, some of the courses' objects were taken out, but I think they did add some back in for certain tracks. I think they put some. Did they put Wumps in Rainbow Road for Super Nintendo?
Yeah. Well, that's something that recently Retro explained and the developers of Mario Kart 7 explained, in that when they take the classic courses and bring it over to a new game, they have to take into consideration the limitations of the hardware in which the course was originally created for, and then they had to update it as well as reinvent it slightly, because they're working with a game that has different mechanics, and Super Circuit was one of the first games to truly experiment with that, in that they not only brought the classic courses over, they also had to reinvent them slightly so they would be able to fit with the game's overall design.
Yeah, yep. One of the other things that started with Super Circuit, I just thought of though, was the ranking system for the cups themselves, like the A, B, C, and the stars and stuff.
Yeah, that's.
Did you get into that at all?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I don't think there hasn't been a a similar system with the other Mario Karts, but I may be mistaken because it's been a while since I played a Mario Kart game. But you're right in that. I remember that it was the first game to actually grade your overall performance while racing. That's something that had been done in other games before, but I think this is one of the first times a racing game actually graded your performance, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it was the first time in a Mario Kart game, which ever since they've kept up. I think maybe Double Dash may have been the exception, but I know from DS onwards there's always been the ranking system, which in 7 has become very easy to get 3-star ranks up until 150cc, where it's a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. Super Circuit, it was very difficult to get a 3-star rank in a cup. Pretty much, the way I was doing it, at least, I was basically using no items at all and just coming first by a lot to try and get a 3-star rank on each cup, which on 150cc, to try and use pretty much no items is very difficult. So you didn't try at all to get a big 3-star ranking at all?
Well, that's something okay, to explain it better, usually when I play games, I don't try to play them to become like the best player ever. So I just jump in.
No, neither.
I just jump in, have fun. If I win, great. If I don't win, that's okay too. I try to not focus so much on the details like getting X achievement in X game or trying to accomplish something so I get better ranking. So I'm afraid to say that I never tried to do that much in the Mario Kart games. I just go in, pick a character, complete the cups, compete with other players, and just have fun. So I'm sorry, I can't dive into detail about that.
I'm pretty much the same way. It's just certain games I do get into, I do try and do certain things. But Super Circuit was one of those, and I never did get all of the ranking, 3-star ranks, but I tried.
It is a fun way to extend the replay by a Super Circuit.
Yeah, and the rankings carried over into the Super Nintendo tracks as well. Mm-hmm. So you could do both sets of courses. Okay, have you got any closing thoughts, Pedro, on Super Circuit?
Well, I'm sorry. well, I was going to say that while Super Circuit does have its issues and limitations due to it being on the Game Boy Advance, I wouldn't say it's as bad as some people make it out to be. For my money, I would say my least favorite is Mario Kart Wii, but that's another discussion that I had on another episode. But I think Super Circuit deserves a little bit more credit for the design choices that it did. And people have to remember also that it was the first handheld game, so it was it required a lot of experimentation to get to work right on the Game Boy Advance. So it's a good thing that it kind of has picked up in popularity in the last few years, but it does need to get a little more recognition. Even if it isn't my all-time favorite Mario Kart game, at least it is better than some people claim it isn't.
Yeah, I agree. That some of the later games may be more fun or excel in certain areas or whatever, but as a handheld Mario Kart, a handheld single-player Mario Kart experience, I think Super Circuit really does excel. It brings up to date the Super Mario Kart gameplay, 2D gameplay, and polishes it just enough to make it more tolerable to newer players. And yeah, the courses are really fun, and I just really do think it is one of my favorite Mario Kart games. Mm-hmm. And I do agree with you that Mario Kart Wii is probably one of the worst.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people love Mario Kart Wii to death. A lot of people can say, no, but playing online gets better. Not for me. It still feels kind of unbalanced. Like, they try to appeal to a new audience. Well, the other Mario Kart games at least focus more on the actual gameplay. And Super Circuit isn't it one of the last classic Mario Kart games, because afterwards it would be focused on gimmicks and brand new gameplay mechanics.
Yeah, Super Circuit really is like the last of the classic Mario Kart line of the way it was presented and the way certain things worked in it. But it's Mario Kart. If you like Mario Kart, I think you should really, if you haven't given Super Circuit a look before, give it a good look and give it a chance to for yourself to adapt to the way the game controls. It is a bit different. And if you haven't, and if you do think you do not like Super Circuit that much, go back and check it out again. Give it a second look. It might surprise you.
Not to mention that there's a really good possibility that it might get re-released on the eShop, because today The Legend of Zelda for the NES came out for the eShop for the 3DS. And considering that game was part of the Advanced program, maybe Super Circuit could eventually make an appearance on the eShop. So then, if it does happen, I do recommend checking it out. If you already played it through the Ambassador program, that's great, but if you haven't, I think that might be the perfect chance to give it a second chance. Especially now, after Mario Kart 7 came out, and maybe you can compare a contrast and then pick a favorite.
Yeah, if people have issues with the way Mario Kart 7 handles its single player, I think it would be a good idea to check out Super Circuit, because I think it is a much better single player experience.
Hi, and welcome to another spirited rendition of NWR Jeopardy. This is our third episode, as we do not count the live show one as canon, because it was kind of a train wreck, and there was a stoner involved. It was bad news all around. I'm Neil Ronahan, and I will be the Alex Trebek, metaphorically speaking, for this show. And with me in spirit is Andy Gergen, who tried to return from baby hiatus, but unfortunately his computer did him in. Hopefully we'll be hearing from him soon in some form, though. He did contribute some of the questions, and I'll be sure to cry profusely missing him whenever I read his questions. Our contestants for the show are Nate Andrews, returning from the first episode of NWR Jeopardy.
Hi.
Yeah. Pedro Hernandez, our returning champion from episode 2.
Hey, everybody.
And Scott Thompson, who hosted one of them? Yeah, you hosted the second one with me, and you were on the first one?
Yeah, I think I got second place in the first one with, like, 100 points. I think I was the only other guy positive outside of you who won.
Yeah.
And now I've won,
and now I guess I just host all the time, which is fine with me. I enjoy this. So without further ado, let's get started. Our four categories for the opening round are Mario Kart, that virtual console shit, hardware, and potent quotables. I guess, Nate, you are the youngest, so we'll let you go first.
All right, let's go with potent quotables for 100.
Okay. The answer is, a winner is you. Pedro? Or no, Nate.
Oh, what is pro wrestling?
Yes, that is correct. For wrestling on the NES with silly stuff. So, Nate, the board is still yours.
Potent quotables for 200.
Welcome to the Warp Zone. Or welcome to Warp Zone. Pedro?
What is Super Mario Bros?
That is correct for 200.
Okay, I'll take yours. The Bishop Console category for... What are we right now?
100, 200, 300, yeah.
300.
Okay, virtual console for 300. Sorry if there is a slight delay with this. I'm running the whole show by myself. For 300, this was the last virtual console release on Wii in North America as of right this minute. Anybody? What is the ignition factor?
I knew. I was like, it's something with fire.
Yeah. It came out in, I believe, August 25th, something like that. Yeah. And we're crying ever since. Pedro, the board is yours.
I'll take Bishop Coaster Shed for 400.
These two platforms were the last two added to the Wii Virtual Console. Nate?
What are Neo Geo and Commodore 64?
That is incorrect. Anybody else? You were half right. It was the Virtual Console Arcade in Commodore 64.
Oh, that's right.
I believe Neo Geo was probably the third to last one. All right, Pedro, the board is still yours.
I'll take Bishop Coaster Shed for 500.
All right. This was the first game from Japan that debuted for the first time in North America on Virtual Console. Scott?
Is it the Lost Levels?
No, that is incorrect.
Is it, Sin and Punishment?
That is incorrect. Nate, are you going to buzz in or no?
No.
All right. This is probably the douchiest question of the entire day. It's actually Battle Load Runner.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Pedro, the board is yours.
What were the other categories again?
Mario Kart and hardware. And then Potent Quotables and virtual console shit.
I'll take Mario Kart for 100.
All right. This game was the first in the series to have retro levels. Pedro.
Why is Mario Kart Super Secret?
That is correct. The board is yours.
I'll take Mario Kart for 200.
These two characters appeared in Super Mario Kart, but were removed from Mario Kart 64. Nate.
Who are Donkey Kong Jr. and Koopa Troopa?
That is correct. Nate, the board is yours. Finally, someone else has the damn board.
Let's do Potent Quotables for 300, I think.
Yes. You spoony bard. Pedro.
What is Final Fantasy IV?
That is correct. The board is yours.
I'll take Mario Kart 7 for 400.
And Pedro's back in the positives, just in case anyone was wondering. He's currently the only person in the positives. What? All right, for 300. Dry Bowser, Funky Kong, You're Me, Baby Peach, Baby Daisy, and this character made their series debut in Mario Kart Wii. Pedro.
Who is Rosalina?
That is correct. All right, board is yours, bro.
I'll take Mario Kart for 500.
For 500. Mario Kart Wii featured an unlockable kart that referenced this similar Nintendo series. Pedro.
What is F-Zero?
That is correct. And it was the Blue Falcon. Did anyone ever use that? I did. A lot.
I did.
It was the only kart that I enjoyed using. Pedro.
Okay. I'll take Potent Quotables for... Where are we right now in terms of money?
There's 400 and 500.
For 500.
All right, the answer is... Congratulations, this story is happy end. The correct answer is Ghosts and Goblins for the NES. Pedro?
Do we have a 600 category?
What?
$600 question, I'm sorry.
About the last one in Potent Quotables?
Yeah.
All right. I feel asleep. Nate.
What is Metal Gear?
That is correct. Has anybody actually ever played the original Metal Gear?
Briefly.
I only played it briefly when I started playing the Metal Gear Solid games and... That was it.
It was always, I always found it to be kind of stupidly hard.
It kind of is, right.
Yeah. All right, we got two left in Virtual Console. We've got all five left in hardware, and we've got one left in Mario Kart. What's your pick, Nate?
Let's finish off Mario Kart.
All right. These two characters could use any of the special character-specific items in Mario Kart Double Dash. Pedro?
Okay, who are Kimbu and Petey Banana?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Okay, I'll take hardware for 100.
All right. This Nintendo console hit shelves in North America in 1985. Pedro.
What is the NES?
That is correct.
Okay, I'll take hardware for 200.
Launch games for this popular Nintendo system included Alleyway, Baseball, and Tennis. Nate.
What is the Virtual Boy?
That is incorrect. Oh. Anybody else? Alleyway, Baseball, and Tennis. That would be the Game Boy.
Oh.
And all three of those games are available on the Nintendo eShop if you would be so daring as to play three pretty much shitty games. All right, we got three more left in hardware and two more left in Virtual Console.
I'll take hardware for 400.
All right. The number of GameCube titles that supported use of the broadband adapter for online play in North America. Pedro?
What is three titles?
That is correct.
Wow. I was totally guessing that one. Huh.
Yeah.
It was Phantasy Star, Kirby, and what else?
Mario Kart.
Kirby didn't have online. I think Kirby had LAN play.
Same with Mario Kart.
It is three Phantasy Star games.
Oh, it's all Phantasy Star. Okay.
Yeah, it's Phantasy Star Online Episode 1 and 2. Episode 1 and 2 Plus, and Episode 3, Card Revolution.
Wow.
So we got 300 and 500 left in hardware, Pedro, and we've got 100 and 200 left in that Virtual Console sheet.
I'll take that Bishop Coaster set for 200.
This non-Nintendo system was promised to make its debut on the 3DS Virtual Console this past summer. Scott?
I'll just guess Game Gear?
That is correct.
All right, good.
Yay!
Scott, the board is yours as you try to come back from the negatives.
Yeah, what's left?
We got a 200 left in Virtual Console, and we got 300 and 500 left in hardware.
I'll finish out Virtual Console.
This maligned sequel was the 100th Virtual Console release on Wii. I believe that's Nate.
What is Majora's Mask?
That is incorrect. You were very, very close. It's actually Zelda 2.
Oh, that's right.
Oh! Nate was thinking of the 50th Virtual Console release.
I think that's what it was, actually. That was the 50th.
Yeah, that was the 50th, and the 100th was Zelda 2.
Yeah. All right, you got 300 and 500 in hardware left.
Which I guess is me. 300.
That's the daily double.
Woohoo!
All right, what are you going to wager? You can wager up to 1,000.
What the heck, let's do 1,000.
All right. This Japan-only add-on was also known as the BSX when it came out in the mid-90s.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
That is the Satellaview.
I knew that one.
All right, so we got one more left. This is the month that the Nintendo GameCube was discontinued. No one's gone in. Anybody? I will take that as a no. February 2007. A super specific one.
I was honestly thinking February.
Ah. All right.
All right,
so
let's hear a scoring update. I can't wait.
All right. Right now, Scott's at negative 1,300. Nate is at 100. And
oh,
Pedro
wow.
is at 1,800.
That's a nice
oh
spread.
My God.
Wow.
Now I feel like a jerk.
All right. So I guess, Scott, you will kick us off. And here are your categories. Puzzle games, Winter Wonderland, Virtual Console, written by Andy instead of me, and Pikmin 2, also, duh, written by Andy.
I'll take, I guess, Winter Wonderland for 200.
All right. This area routinely gets frozen in Zelda games. Pedro?
What is Sora's Domain?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that that wasn't beginner's luck, Pedro. I got a feeling.
Well, I just remember that in Ocarina of Time, when you go to the Sora's Domain, they were frozen and you had to unfreeze the king. And then in Twilight Princess, you go to the Sora's Domain as well, and you see all of the Sora's frozen in the water, which is kind of creepy.
They're just staring at you. All right, the board is yours, sir.
Okay, I'll take Winter Wonderland for 400.
All right. Ice flowers were introduced in the Mario universe in this 2005 DS game. Oh, crap. It was Nate. You were first.
What is New Super Mario Brothers?
That is incorrect. Anybody else? Unless that was everyone's guess.
That's kind of what I was thinking, but now I'm, like, trying to think of what else would have been in 2005.
I guess,
Nintendogs.
Mario and Luigi, Partners in Time.
Was it really?
Oh! I was thinking of the mainline games.
Yeah, I was actually going to, I was like, oh, it was Galaxy. And then I looked into it and realized that it wasn't. Hmm. But, yeah, Pedro, the board is yours.
What is Winter I'll take Winter Wonderland for 600.
All right. This is the name of the snowy locale in Metroid Prime. Scott.
Fendrana Drifts? Fendrana Drifts?
Yeah, you're close enough. I think it's Fehendrana, but I'm not sure. That's just how I pronounce it.
Woo-hoo. Great music, too.
Yeah. I mean, that was the first one that I wrote for this, because I was like, what's a really memorable snowy location? And yeah, that one takes the cake. Just like, you know, seeing Ridley fly across the screen.
Right.
Love it.
Love it.
So good.
All right. I'll keep rolling with Winter Wonderland then. And
all right.
Whatever's next. 800, I guess.
Yep. This pun-filled Super Mario 64 level name features snowmen, penguins, and ice. No takers?
No.
This was a tough one, but it's very funny to me. What is Snowman's Land? Is this like No Man's Land? I like puns. Sorry.
Don't worry, I like puns too.
So, Scott, do you want to close this one out?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. This snow-themed robot this snow-themed robot master appears in Mega Man 1. Nate?
Who's Chill Penguin?
No, that's
oh,
that
no,
would be
that
in
the, oh, crap.
That would be in Mega Man X.
That is true.
Although, very, very good boss. It's the one that I always beat first whenever I play that game. Nobody?
Someone.
Please?
Nope.
Iceman.
Man, that was easy.
I knew it was going to be something like that. I was thinking Snowman. I was like, no, it wouldn't be Snowman. That's too dumb.
Iceman is just a little bit above Snowman, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, we got Puzzle Games, Virtual Console, and Pikmin 2 for Scott.
Let's do, I guess, Puzzle for 200.
All right. Gunpei Yokoi designed this puzzle game, which has been re-released numerous times on Nintendo platforms. Pedro.
I'm going out on a limb here, but what is Dr. Mario?
That is correct.
No.
Wow.
It was, I believe, okay, its first appearance. Its first appearance was on the Game Boy, which I think already came out. It came out on the 21st anniversary of the game in Japan on Virtual Console. So I'd assume we will eventually see the original version sometime soon.
Yep. Okay, I'll take Postos for 400.
All right. Pushmo, the recent eShop release, was made by Intelligent Systems, who also made this popular Nintendo puzzle franchise. There are multiple names for this one, and I'll take any one of them. Pedro.
What is Panettone?
Yes, or Puzzle League or Tetris Attack would have also been allowed.
Okay.
All right. Board is still yours.
I'll take Puzzles for 600.
That is the Daily Double. Yay.
Yay.
All right, where are you going to bet, Pedro?
How much do I have right now?
A lot.
All of it.
2,600.
God.
Scott's got negative 700, and Nate's got negative 1,300.
Oh, man, Nate, okay, what happened?
Wow. I whiffed that Mega Man one.
The funny thing is that it's like you guys have gotten ones right. It's just that you both got 1,000-point ones wrong.
Yeah.
But, I'm going to bet 400.
400?
Yeah.
All right. Tetris features this many pieces.
What is 5 pieces?
That is incorrect. It's actually 7.
7.
Yes.
Oh, well.
So the board
I still
is,
have my money.
The board is still yours.
I'll take puzzles for 800.
All right. Nonagrams are what the name of the puzzles you complete in this series are called. Scott.
I think I'm wrong, but I'll just say Picross.
That is correct. He's back on the board. He's in the positives, too, I think.
Yay. Yeah, what do I have?
Welcome back.
Now?
You have 100. You are only 2,100 away from Pedro.
Watch out, Pedro. All right, let's finish out a puzzle.
All right. Though Puyo Puyo is a Sega game now, Nintendo still made this Super Nintendo version of it, starring a notable character of theirs. Scott.
Kirby's Avalanche?
That is correct.
Woo! My first thought was Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine. I was like, no.
That's actually
that's the other one. That's basically
I've never actually played Kirby's Avalanche, but I've played the crap out of Mean Bean Machine.
Yeah. Both are good.
Me too.
They're the same thing.
All right. We got Virtual Console and Pikmin 2, the two Andy made categories in this batch.
Yeah, not going to touch Pikmin 2. Let's do Virtual Console.
All right. Just want to start at the beginning?
Yeah.
All right. This Genesis game provides lock-on technology to the previous two titles in the series. Scott.
Sonic and Knuckles.
That is correct for 200. He's making a late-game comeback, folks.
Yeah, watch out. just keep rolling, 400.
All right. This Mega Man title was the last NES title to be released on Virtual Console thus far. That was Scott again.
Yeah, I'm going to go Mega Man 5.
That is correct. He's on fire. If we were playing NBA Jam, you would be burning up the computer.
Boom, shakalaka.
Yeah. Now is he going to put up a brick? Who knows?
Let's keep going. 600.
This Virtual Console arcade title shares a title, but little else, with an NES game featuring Irene Liu and ninjas. Scott.
Is it Ninja Gaiden?
Yes, that is correct.
Wow.
Jesus Christ. Score update, Scott's in the lead.
Wow.
He's got 2,300 to 2,200.
For now. Big talk, right. Pedro.
Yeah,
800.
All right. This was the first import title to be fully localized for North America on Virtual Console. Sin and Punishment.
I thought so. Sin
and Punishment was the first one to actually be localized because games like Battle Loadrunner, they were just the Japanese versions were released, but they already had English text, they didn't have to be localized. Sin and Punishment was the first one to be released that was classified as an import game, because I believe still to this day, even though Battle Loadrunner is an import game, it's not listed as one on the Wii Shop channel.
Oh, okay.
I did my research, man.
Yeah, look at you.
All right. I guess we'll close out Virtual Console?
Yeah, please.
Oh, man. This is a really mean one. No one's going to get this. Damn you, Andy. This 2008 900-point Virtual Console game features characters by the names of Billy King and Duke Edwards. No one? Not surprised. Burning like Fight. It's a Neo Geo game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, not at all.
That was...
All right.
All right, well, let's just roll through Pikmin then, I guess.
Yeah, I think you guys might be able to get some of these, but, I mean, I wound up cleaning up that Zelda 2 category, and I played the game for about an hour, so anything is possible. All right, for 200 points, yellow Pikmin are immune to this natural phenomenon. Pedro.
What are explosions?
That is incorrect.
Oh, fuck.
All right. The next one is this. Oh, wait. Does anyone else want to guess that one?
No, but what was the answer?
What is electricity?
Oh, okay.
Ah.
This is the name of Captain Olimar's trusty sidekick in Pikmin 2. Pedro?
Who is Louis?
That is correct. And Pedro is back in front.
Oof. Yay!
He's going to keep being too. I'm not going to know any of these.
600. The opening area from Pikmin 2. But no one's going to get that one. What is the Valley of Repose?
Oh. I know JP was going to get that one. That's for sure.
We can just say that JP got, at least 2,400 points here if he was playing.
Yeah.
The number of blue Pikmin you would need to carry what 5 purple Pikmin can carry. Nate?
I think you started to say it. Is it 15?
No, it was 50.
Oh.
I did close. Start to say it, though. But you had 2 ways to go. You know, you guessed. All right, the last one for 1,000. This is the company that Captain Olimar works for. Pedro?
I think this is going to kill me, but what is the Big Big Carrot Company?
No, it's a Hokitate Fright.
Fuck. That killed me. Sorry, JP, but that game sucked. I'm sorry.
all right, so at the end of Double Jeopardy, Scott is in the lead with 2,300 points after going off of like a 5 or 6 question in a row run. Pedro's in second with 1,400. And Nate, bless his heart, is negative 1,900. we'll just pretend that Nate has
1,900.
Yes. For the sake of argument, he's still alive for Final Jeopardy. So as we've done this before, just send me in your bets in, after I say what the category is.
And what was the I'm sorry, what was Pedro's score again?
1,400. So we got 2,300, 1,400, and negative 1,900. All right. And the category for the final one is current news. Or I guess a more apt category might be current revelations. And then send me in your bets. So I guess during this time, I will fill it up while everyone sends me their bets about games I've been playing, I guess, or something along those lines. Oh, wait, no, I have good news to send to tell everyone. We might be doing this live at PAX East, which could potentially be very cool. Probably going to have some kind of guest participation if we actually get it on the off chance that we do. So that will be cool. And we're just waiting. Nate, are you gonna bid or?
Am I bidding negative points?
I mean, guess that could work, except for then you'd get more negative points. Well, it would be a positive if we were multiplying it.
Are we multiplying it?
All right. I guess I will read it, and then everyone can answer. Here is the answer. Once again, send it to me in confidence. In the recently revealed Zelda timeline, this is what causes the third timeline split.
I meant to look at that all day today. I meant to pull that up and look at that.
I couldn't think of a Final Jeopardy question, and then that got revealed, and I was just like, oh, done. Yeah.
Okay, done.
Pedro resent it as a question. All right. Well, I guess to start it off, Nate sent us in. So we will read off Nate's first. What is Link fails to beat Ganondorf? That is correct. It happens in Ocarina of Time. And Pedro's answer, he bid 1,400. What happens if Link fails to defeat Ganon? That also is correct. So that brings him up to 2,800.
Yes!
And I think we're going to have to give it to Scott, because he does still kind of have it right, albeit it's not specific, but Link dies, ... And he bid 550. I mean, if anyone wants to argue that, we could get an objective third party to debate that, but I think it works, because that's kind of what has to happen. He has to fail and potentially die. Pedro, do you contest that?
No, I don't have to disagree. It makes sense. I mean, the only way Link can fail is if he's killed or gets an arm and a leg cut off. I don't know.
So that means at the end of Jeopardy, mildly improbable, Scott comes out ahead, 2850 to 2800.
Wow.
Wow, we were close.
Yes. Yeah.
And we'll say that Nate came out at zero because he got the Final Jeopardy right.
So we'll just bump up to zero.
Yeah. But yeah, was that good, guys? Did we all enjoy it?
Yeah, it was
good.
Do
I need to stop asking such douchey questions? Because I don't want to have just gimmies, but I feel like I guess I should, because there's so many where it's just like, shit.
It's just all about getting the right person who would know, like, one specific thing about, like, a random, you know, specific game.
But yeah, I mean, like, Pikmin 2, none of you guys really knew
no,
Pikmin 2.
No, but, like, if someone like JP had been here, he would have cleaned house, so.
Yeah.
Or maybe even Mike, I don't know if he's played much Pikmin 2, but he might have known some of those, so.
And in all fairness, I pretty much own the Mario Kart category, so it makes sense that later on I would fail, so it even sinks out a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah, not too bad. I think major upset here by beating Pedro. So I'm
there was legitimately six questions in a row that you got right to put you in the lead. You started that runoff in negative points.
Right.
And wound up beating him.
I hope I don't upset all those listeners you were saying who cheer for you now, Pedro.
Yeah,
sorry, guys.
You're going to be the villain. We'll have to give you like some kind
of... Oh, it was at least I lost by 50 points at least. It's not like I lost by negative... 1 million.
Is that a dig at Nate?
I was going to say, wow. have to have a rematch with you two.
But yeah, so that means we have we've done three episodes of Jeopardy and we've had three different winners. It's intense. So thanks everyone for listening. Hopefully you made it this far. And let us know any feedback about the show. You can tell us in the talkback thread or you can email us at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. And we look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you have any category ideas, I know someone has sent me a Pokemon one in the past. I believe it was Shaman, who is named after a Pokemon. Okay. Haven't used it yet, but it'll likely get used at some point. Possibly, if we get this PAX EVE live show, I might use some listener categories there. But if you have any, you can email them to us at connectivity. But if you could put them in a, like, Word document or something, because generally we do have other people on the connectivity alias might be contestants in it. So I guess there's a way so that way not everyone knows it, thus discluding them from being a part of the contestants in that episode. Yeah. Or you can just send it to them and we'll figure something out.
There you go.
But yeah, thanks for coming by.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Bye. All right, and that'll do it. Hope you guys enjoyed this sort of supersized holiday episode. Thanks a lot for listening. As always, if you have any listener mail for us, you can send it to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. Also, if you have the time, we'd love if you'd rate and review us on iTunes. We've got a couple new ones there, and we really appreciate it, so thank you very much. And I guess that'll do it. So we'll be back next week with our final show of 2011. You probably look forward to some Game of the Year talk and things of that nature. But for now, enjoy the holiday, and we'll see you next week.